All I ever hear day and night is, you better hurry up and get a life. I need some direction. Guess the clock is ticking away.
From the Minuteman News Service.
This is Michael Stinson in Hawaii. Leaders of last Sunday's March for Women's Lives held a news conference on Capitol Hill Thursday to repeat their demand for an apology from Bush campaign advisor Karen Hughes for her remarks about abortion rights. A call for Hughes to resign was made Thursday by Martha Burke, head of the National Council of Women's Organizations. She has called your mothers, your aunts, your grandmothers, your daughters, your sons, and husbands terrorists. This has got to stop. It is the worst kind of McCarthyism. You cannot speak out in this country anymore without being called a traitor. The highest form of patriotism is to speak out against policies that do not benefit the citizens of your country, Burke said. This must stop. She owes an apology, if not a resignation. Bush and Cheney were questioned in the Oval Office for about 3 hours on Thursday by the 911 Commission. No one can say for sure what was talked about, as there were no recordings made, nor video cameras or even notes allowed, and both refused to take an oath or give public testimony. The commission was searched by hand for weapons, and at the end, their notebooks were taken from them before they left the session, with the White House saying they would be returned after being reviewed for classified information. Bush had initially opposed creation of the panel, and his lawyers struggled for months last year to prevent the commissions from getting access to highly classified Oval Office intelligence reports. The head of the United States occupation in Iraq, L. Paul Bremer, warned 6 months before the September 11th attacks that the Bush administration seemed to be paying no attention to terrorism and appeared to stagger along on the issue. Mr. Bremer, who in 1999 was chairman of a National Commission on Terrorism, gave a speech on February 26, 2001, in which he said the general terrorist threat was increasing. The new administration seems to be paying no attention to the problem of terrorism, Mr. Bremer said in his speech. What they will do is stagger along until there's a major incident and then suddenly say, oh my God, shouldn't we be organized to deal with this?
More after this.
Military veterans deserve better. They must wait endlessly for basic health care from the Department of Veterans Affairs. If you or a military veteran you know is one of the many heroes waiting for VA health care, the American Legion wants to tell your story to your elected officials in Washington, D.C. Call toll-free 1-866-539-2509 or visit www.legion.org today. The number again, 1-866-539-2509. We'll tell your story where it matters.
A Washington State backpack maker has discovered a lot of profit to be made by insulting a president. Labels on most of the backpacks, messenger, and laptop bags made and sold by Tom Bin have his company's contact information, along with washing instructions in English and French on a tiny tag, along with a message in French that translates as, "We are sorry that our president is an idiot. We did not vote for him." The popularity of the bags and interest in the label has also spawned a new product from the company, T-shirts featuring an enlarged version of the label on the front. Profits from these T-shirts are being donated to the Seattle Veterans Center, Ben said. For a Minuteman News Service, this is Michael Stinson in Hawaii.
Minuteman News Break is a production of TakeBackTheMedia.com.
If George W. keeps telling us that global warming is not happening, and that even if it is, it's nothing to worry about, why are his Pentagon planners warning that, quote, there is substantial evidence that significant global warming will occur during the 21st century, that this will lead to, quote, an abrupt climate change, and that this change could, quote, destabilize the geopolitical environment, leading to skirmishes, battles, and even war? Perhaps the disparity between Bush think and the thinking of the Pentagon planners is that planners actually have to deal in some reality, whereas George can simply stick oil money in his campaign pockets and stick his head in the sand on a rising threat that could be globally catastrophic. The Pentagon's warning comes in a report titled An Abrupt Climate Change Scenario and Its Implications for United States National Security. It was commissioned by Andrew Marshall, a longtime highly regarded official who heads the Department of Defense's Office of Net Assessment. Marshall, who has worked under five presidents, is known as the Yoda of the Pentagon. As a DOD spokesman notes, he's the wise one that when we need to think about big things, he's the one we turn to. Nothing is much bigger than global warming, for if it is happening, and practically every independent scientist says it is, it will change everything. The Pentagon's analysis included the possibilities of intense winter storms in the Northeast, an inland sea enveloping part of Northern California, extended drought in crucial agricultural areas, food shortages, lack of fresh water, and energy shortages. It notes that nations with food and water resources may build fortresses around them to stave off have-not nations clamoring for survival. This is Jim Hightower saying, the report does not say that all of this will happen, but that such a scenario is plausible and that the risk of global warming, quote, should be elevated beyond a scientific debate to a U.S. national security concern. Now, someone read that to George W.
Federal college loan rates are currently lower than they have ever been, which means by refinancing now, you could cut your monthly student loan payment by up to 50%. By calling 1-800-2-COLLEGE, you'll quickly be connected to College Loan Corporation. We will answer your questions, help you lower your payments, and secure a rate as low as 2.63%. It's easy, it's free, and so far, over 300,000 people have called. 1-800-2-COLLEGE. It's the smartest call you can make.
It's a wild day here at the stock market. Let's talk to some traders. How you doing?
I'm taking a shelling, but I'm still gelling.
Okay, and how about you?
I'm gelling and selling. Gelling and selling.
My trades are smelling.
Mine too, but who cares?
We're gelling.
Are you gelling yet? Dr. Scholl's massaging gel insoles are made from the softest gel ever created. If you and your feet don't feel outrageously comfortable, you get your money back, guaranteed. Are you gelling? Dr. Scholl's.
He's the man who uncovers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
And happy Friday! Shabbat Shalom, TGIF. It's the end of the week. And if you have had a bad 3 weeks, according to the astrologers among us, Mercury just ended its retrograde. It's going direct today, which means that for the next 3 months or so, things are supposed to work out well. If you're into that kind of stuff. I'm frankly know virtually nothing about it. But as I've mentioned before, it just startles me the number of people that I know in business who won't make business decisions when Mercury's retrograde. So it's just there's like this whole little subculture of people out there of all religions, and it's just this one little thing. And people, I always find it interesting that the five major things that people read in the newspaper. 80% of all people who read the newspaper only read one or more of five things: the front page, the sports page, the advice column, the comics, or the horoscope. Those five things constitute 80% of newspaper readership, and the horoscope being one of them. Anyhow, today Mercury goes direct. Lots and lots of news. It's an extraordinary day in history. Of course, 1 year ago tomorrow, but we won't be on the air tomorrow. Well, we will actually be on, being rebroadcast on some stations, but 1 year ago Saturday, tomorrow, was when George Bush stood on the flight deck of the USS Abraham Lincoln and proclaimed, "Major combat operations in Iraq have ended." A little later on in the program, we're going to get into what is the situation in Iraq right now, what is going on there, and what echoes it might have to previous conflicts. Some very very interesting happenings in that whole thing. The war in Vietnam ended today. In 1975, Gerald Ford was president. And as Saigon announced its unconditional surrender to the Viet Cong, the president, Duong Van Minh, president of South Vietnam, he'd only been in office 3 days, made the announcement in a radio broadcast to the nation early in the morning, asked his forces to lay down their arms. The Viet Cong marched into Saigon. Everybody had expected it to be a bloody mess. It wasn't. The looting, in fact, here from the BBC report, the looting which has ravaged the city over the last 24 hours stopped and power was restored later in the day. Only the United States Embassy remained closed and silent, ransacked by looters. Goes on, President Ford, who had requested humanitarian aid for the Vietnamese, let it be known that he was proud to have saved what Vietnamese he could in the last frantic helicopter evacuation. Here's a little bit from a BBC report about that. Hopefully this is not prescient, predicting future events in another part of the world. But it's an interesting... This should have been a lesson for all of us.
It's 7 o'clock. Good evening. This is John Tidmarsh with News Desk. And from South Vietnam, where it's now the middle of the night, we are now waiting for just one word, surrender. It could come at any time. The Saigon government is reported to be ready to meet any conditions for peace. In the last desperate hours, helicopters had carried all the remaining Americans, about 1,000 of them, to safety. 3,500 Vietnamese have also been airlifted out, but thousands more fighting to get places on the rescue aircraft were forced away and left behind. America first heard the news of the final withdrawal in a dawn statement from the White House made by the Defense Secretary, Mr. Schlesinger. By then, though, the evacuation was already well underway. Frantic scenes reported for us by one of our correspondents still in Saigon, Derek Wilson.
And now here's the actual report from inside Saigon. This is fascinating.
The word to evacuate came over small walkie-talkies handed out to the leaders of pre-arranged evacuation groups. The evacuees hurried out of hotels and flats with a minimum of baggage to agreed assembly points. Some climbed to the rooftops of high buildings. Others were taken in buses through streets under curfew to an American compound at the airport. Some of the buses were fired at by troops bitter at being left behind. A colleague said Marine guards at the gate of the compound used fists and rifle butts to stop hundreds of desperate Vietnamese getting in. Then, after a long wait, small white helicopters began spiraling down onto the rooftops, homing in on yellow smoke flares. After a few minutes, they took off.
This is what happens when the people of a nation that you have invaded decide that they don't want you there. I mean, just very simple. When nationalism, even dysfunctional nationalism, in this case, communist nationalism, when nationalism trumps the willingness to tolerate what is perceived as imperialism or invasion or occupation. Also on this day in 1973, Richard Nixon said, America must not again fall into the trap of letting the end, however great the end is, justify the means. What was he speaking about? This was the day that he took full personal responsibility for the Watergate scandal, although he denied any personal involvement. So, did you notice L. Paul Bremer? This story just came out today, and it's causing some consternation for the Bush administration. Actually, I guess it came out yesterday afternoon. And because Scotty has already commented on it, or refused to comment on it, actually, Scotty McClellan, he's not going to comment on it. But, Paul Bremer, the guy who's the, our viceroy in Iraq, Viceroy Bremer, actually co-chaired the National Commission on Terrorism, this, leading up to, in 1999, 2000, 2001. And in a speech 6 months before 9/11, he specifically said that the Bush administration, this was on February 26, 2001, the end of the second month of the Bush administration, he said the Bush administration was, quote, paying no attention to terrorism. Paul Bremer. He went on to say, this was at a McCormick Tribune Foundation conference on terrorism, February 26, 2001, he had just been the chairman of this commission on terrorism. He said, what they will do, speaking to the Bush administration, what they will do is stagger along until there's a major incident and then say, oh my God, shouldn't we be organized to deal with this? L. Paul Bremer. When confronted with this quote, Scotty McClellan said, well, I'm not going to comment on that, or something to that effect. Jobs information, we have Betsy DeVos. Many of you don't know who Betsy DeVos is. She's, well, we'll get to her in just a second, actually. Give you a little setup. A whopping 51 Bush Pioneers and Rangers. These are, to be a pioneer, you've got to commit to raise $100,000 for the Bush administration, for the campaign, for the election of George W. Bush. And to be a Ranger, you got to raise $200,000. 51 of them are executives at companies identified as outsourcers on Lou Dobbs' Exporting America list. And just yesterday, Bush Cabinet Secretaries Snow and Evans, two of Bush's cabinet secretaries, jointly announced that the U.S. will not react to China's exploitation of workers. Instead, they'll let China go and allow U.S. jobs to keep moving to a country that completely ignores fair trade rules. This even upset Ohio Republican Senator George Voinovich. He said, I'm very disappointed with the administration's soft approach to China. The administration should certify that this is happening and slap punitive tariffs on Chinese-made goods. Oh, you can't do that, George. All those campaign contributions from the Walton family will stop coming into the White House. The Voice of America News says Beijing said it welcomes a Bush administration decision not to investigate China's alleged violation of labor rights. That's a verbatim quote, Voice of America News, yesterday. Bush, Snow, and Evans have stood by and watched the U.S. trade deficit with China climb to $124 billion. Now, what does that mean, $124 billion? First of all, it's the highest on record. It's 48% higher under Bush than it was under Clinton. It hurts American jobs. Experts estimate that at least 11,000 jobs are lost for every $1 billion. So we've got $124 billion. 11,000 jobs, a billion. That means about 440,000 jobs disappeared to China just last year, compared to the Clinton years. Just last year. While in Ohio recently, Snow praised this. He says you can outsource a lot of activities and get them done just as well at a lower cost. The outsourcing of U.S. jobs is part of trade, and there can't be any doubt about the fact that trade makes the economy stronger. This is from our Treasury Secretary. Well, here's the bottom line. The con agenda here is what's good for billionaires is good for billionaires, and the billionaires are the ones who, by and large, are controlling the media. Here we have Sinclair Media today, saying that they are not going to allow their television stations that carry Ted Koppel's show to air his show tonight. I have a whole bunch of details about that I'm going to share with you a little later on in the show. But just, you know, and so in order to create a world that's ideal for billionaires, because billionaires would really like to have a world that's best for billionaires, they have to convince folks like you and me that what's good for billionaires is good for us. So they got their front guys out there, you know, the right-wing talk show hosts and a few of the politicians and folks like Jon Snow. He's not a billionaire. He's only a multimillionaire. And George W. Bush, he's also a multimillionaire. I don't know, maybe the Bush family in aggregate is worth a billion. It's probably close to it. Is what's good for billionaires actually good for you and me? No, it turns out. And Americans, going back to George Washington, have known that. Thomas Jefferson writing about the dangers to democracy of what he called the excessive accumulation of wealth, quoting Thomas Jefferson, as a direct danger to democracy. Madison talked about it. And this is Abraham Lincoln talked about it. Grover Cleveland talked about it. Teddy Roosevelt talked about it. Franklin Roosevelt talked about it. It just goes on and on. Even Dwight Eisenhower. And now we find that the Bush Commerce Department is actively participating in conferences and workshops that encourage American companies to export jobs to China. They showed up, and now they propose tax breaks for shipping jobs overseas. Bush's 2004 budget called for ending tax benefits for U.S. companies that make goods in the U.S. and suggested this should be replaced with tax benefits that help companies that operate overseas. Why? Well, the Treasury Department says, I mean, here's the conservative agenda. This will preserve the competitiveness of U.S. businesses operating in the global marketplace. In other words, it's good for large transnational corporations in the United States. It's good for the billionaires, so it must be good for America. Turns out, ain't true. It's good for the billionaires, and it is destroying America's middle class. Destroying America's middle class. That's the conservative agenda. There is a progressive agenda, what you might call a liberal agenda. Let's empower labor unions. Let's raise the minimum wage. Let's do something that is going to work for the working people of America and create a balanced, level playing field. It's Tom Hartman, 20 minutes past the hour.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Wakefield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
The last hours of ancient sunlight, the fate of the world, and what we can do before it's too late is Tom Hartman's stunning wake-up call to humanity. Conversations with God author Neil Donald Walsh says this about the book.
Quote it everywhere. Buy 10 books and give them away. Don't let this action go unheard. You may feel like a voice in the wilderness, but it is your voice we're waiting to hear. Yours is the crucial vote. You are the determining factor. We reach critical mass when we reach you, and you choose to reach others with the simple message of this book. Let us act at last in the best interest of all. Then the sun will shine another day, and another still, and life will not merely go on, but achieve its highest expression, its grandest glory, its greatest joy. Can we give this gift to our children? Please say yes.
The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight, The Fate of the World and What We Can Do Before It's Too Late by Tom Hartman. Available in bookstores everywhere.
We could build thousands of new schools or hire a million new teachers. We could make sure every child has insurance. Instead, under George Bush, America is alone, spending tens of billions to rebuild Iraq with no plan for success. After 3 years, when is George Bush going to start taking care of America? Shouldn't America be a top priority?
Hey, what does this word make you think of? Tchaikovsky.
Isn't it? So what's the word?
No, that is the word.
He loves it.
All right, who's Martha Graham?
She invented the graham cracker. Before her, there was only soda crackers.
Maybe they're not getting enough art. Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more, visit AmericansForTheArts.org, because all kids should get to appreciate Tchaikovsky's music and Martha Graham's dance. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
Setting up a radio station? Wondering what software to use? Listen to the words of Mike Chandler of WOBS in Florida talking about the TuneTracker system.
I love the software. I mean, it is rock solid. It has not burped one single time. This thing has not stopped. And I tell you, I've got some software that I run at two of my other radio stations that cost tons and tons more. One I paid, I think, $1,500 for it. And then one system, which was the Arrakis DigiLink system, I paid $15,000 for it. But this rivals my $15,000 system.
As Mike Chandler said, the TuneTracker system is rock solid. And the price? Only $349.95 for the pro version with traffic interface and only $149.95 for the original TuneTracker 2. Either way, you'll have a radio automation system that performs like systems costing thousands more. For more information, go to our website, www.tunetrackersystems.com. www.tunetrackersystems.com.
fearlessly exploring the truth of the day, here's Tom Hartman.
Well, it's tit for tat, but heck, you know all that. So when George number one brought in the big guns and chased me out of Kuwait, tried to set me straight, I arranged a little hit on that Texas twit. Well, it didn't quite work. I felt like a jerk.
This is Saddam's song.
Bygones be gone. Figured George would too. Got other things to do than worry about me and my villainry. But whoever would have guessed, whoever would have thought that I'd come to regret that crooked shot?
Yes.
Would ever imagine that a vengeful son would make a presidential run? And almost sort of win. What were those folks smoking? At first I thought the guy on CNN was joking. If I'd have known you were...
Saddam and his regrets, I guess, is the essence of that little tune. That's from Jim Turr. BlueCanyonProductions.com. Jim Turr's stuff. Ben Birch, by the way, a lot of our listeners... A lot of people who listen to some of our affiliates who only carry one or two hours of our three-hour program listen to the final hours of the program on the archives that are on the WhiteRoseSociety.org website. There's a link to it off the archives link from TomHartman.com. And, in fact, we've, you know, a startling number of people, frankly. And Ben is trying to upgrade his servers, and he's got a fundraiser going on there. So if you are listening on WhiteRoseSociety.org, let me recommend that you help them out there with that. Okay, speaking of what's good for billionaires, the JCI operation, Johnson Controls Incorporated, was sold, apparently, By the DeVos family sometime back. It was originally called the Prince Corporation, and this company is now sending 885 jobs to its auto visor plant in Mexico, where workers earn $2 a day. The DeVos family, the father, Betsy DeVos's father, Edgar Prince, founded this company, and it was sold by the family in 1996 for $1.35 billion. So, you know, speaking of what's good for billionaires. And so, who does this from the Grand Rapids Free Press, an article by Steve Harmon. Who does Betsy DeVos think is getting paid too much? The Republican State Party chairwoman, that's who Betsy DeVos is, raised the issue Tuesday. She said many, if not most, of the economic problems in Michigan are the result of high wages. Oh, my God. If the wages are too high in Michigan, yes, indeed, we need to bring the wages in Michigan down to parity with those in Mexico. Pay those people $2 an hour. After all, if you're going to have trade rules that force them to compete with Mexico, well, why stop at Mexico? A lot of Mexican factories are closing and moving over to China. Pay them 35 cents an hour. Yeah, this was a prepared statement from the chairwoman of the Republican State Party for the state of Michigan. Many, if not most, of the economic problems in Michigan are the result of high wages and a tax and regulatory structure that makes this state uncompetitive. Yeah, right. Michigan Democratic Party Chairman Butch Hallowell said, I hate to tell Betsy DeVos this, but high wages are not a bad thing. They're good and we need more of them. Hey, well said. DeVos, a longtime West Michigan GOP activist who owns the Grand Rapids holding company WinQuest Group and whose husband's family owns Alticor, Inc., said she was only referring to the realities of the global economy. Betsy, the global economy is in part defined by the rules that we, the people, our government, set up. Anyhow, she says, when you see jobs going to our neighbors in the Southeast, South Carolina, Virginia, and Alabama, their economic climate for job creators is much more hospitable than ours. That's because of the Taft-Hartley Act that allowed states to have right-to-work laws, or right-to-work jobs typically pay $5,300 a year less than in states that are heavily unionized. And thus, you've got situations where people can't raise families on their jobs. The working poor is expanding. This all has to do with us, we the people, setting the rules of the game. But, of course, those rules of the game are not always the best thing for billionaires. They're just the best thing to create a middle class and have a healthy democracy. Not a concern of the Republican Party, in my opinion. 29 minutes past the hour. Tom Hartman with you. We'll be right back.
A must read, The Edison Gene, ADHD and the Gift of the Hunter Child by Tom Hartman, best-selling author of Attention Deficit Disorder, A Different Perception. Ed Halliwell, a nationally recognized expert on ADD, said this about The Edison Gene.
Tom Hartman demonstrates that ADHD can be associated with creativity, high achievement, and a most successful adaptive style.
The Edison Gene, now available in bookstores everywhere.
Pop and not-so-pop culture, democracy, and the news of the day. This is the Tom Hartman Program.
This is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm Sarah Turner.
Yet another attempt is underway in Congress to stiffen the penalties for those who willingly flaunt workplace safety standards, which lead to the death of someone on the job. An average of 100 people are killed at work every year due to the willful neglect of safety rules. But those responsible can only be punished with 6 months in jail and a fine. A new bill has been introduced in the Senate which would increase that punishment to a 10-year prison sentence. But don't hold your breath. Similar legislation was introduced on Capitol Hill last year and went nowhere.
After a two-year struggle for a union, bulletproof vest makers at Point Blank Body Armor in South Florida finally have a contract with the United Needle Industries and Textile Employees Union. The 150 mostly Latino and Haitian workers suffered under horrendous working conditions, poor pay, and inadequate benefits. When the workers demanded management recognize their union, the leaders were fired and a bitter strike ensued. After a massive pressure campaign, including rallies and pickets, a federal judge ordered an injunction of Point Blank, forcing the company to rehire workers who had been illegally fired for union activity. Point Blank agreed there would not have to be a union election, and shortly thereafter, the majority of employees signed union authorization cards. Harris Rayner is the Southern Regional Director for Unite.
And within basically a 36-hour period, we had our union, we had our contract, the workers had their first guaranteed raises, all the standard clauses for arbitration of grievances, and created a retirement plan for the workers.
South Korea's new labor-oriented political party is beginning to have some effect on the relationship between unions and Korean companies less than a month after its debut, in part due to the surprising victory of the Korean Democratic Labor Party, which took 10 seats in the National Assembly. Tiremaker Kumho today settled the dispute with its union over the status of long-term temporary workers. According to the agreement, any temporary worker who's been with Kumho Tires longer than 2 years will become a full-time employee immediately. The rest qualify for permanent status at the end of next year. The practice of long-term temping is very common in South Korea, and it's hoped this deal sets a trend to break that cycle. Here's today's Dow Bob Report. What began as legislation designed to bring the United States into compliance with the World Trade Organization has turned into a free-for-all on Capitol Hill. A bill to phase out about $5 billion worth of subsidies for exporting U.S. goods now includes more than $170 billion in tax cuts for a variety of industries, including some $37 billion in tax relief targeted for companies with offshore subsidiaries. Opponents of the bill worry that may provide an incentive to send more jobs out of the country.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Bringing democracy to the United States of America, here's Tom Hartman.
Mama, don't let your babies grow up to be cowards.
Today is Willie Nelson's birthday.
Don't let them pick guitars and drive them old trucks. Make them be doctors and lawyers and such.
One of the most brilliant artists
Mama,
in the country field.
Mama, don't let your babies grow up to be cowboys.
Cowboys like George.
They'll never stay home and they're always alone. Even with someone they love.
And welcome back. Tom Hartman back here with you 26 minutes before the hour. Betsy DeVos, the billionaire head of the Republican Party in Michigan, says, states with right-to-work environments have an advantage in attracting new jobs. The fact that we have high wages in some areas, there will continue to be adjustments as job creators adjust to the realities. Yeah. Yeah, let's just get rid of those high-paying jobs. We don't need no stinking high-paying jobs. We Republicans are billionaires. Who needs a working class when you're a billionaire? 26 minutes before the hour. 1-866-889-8894 is our number if you'd like to be on the air with us. And Kodak, one of our truckers listening on Sirius, is on the line. Hey, Kodak.
Hello.
I hear your truck blew up.
Well, actually, it just I was driving on my way home on Friday on the 9th, and it just caught fire.
You're kidding. What were you hauling?
I was actually hauling I used to drive the flatbed, so I was hauling rubber membrane that they use in roof applications when they're doing what they call the build-up type roofs.
Yeah.
Water from getting in.
Was that the stuff that caught on fire, or was it the engine and the truck, the cab?
Actually, I had a starter solenoid put on earlier that day.
Yeah.
And the fire investigator feels pretty sure it was that caused the fire.
They screwed up.
Well, yeah, hopefully it's the manufacturer of the product and not the actual garage where I had it put on at.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm glad to know that you're well and that you're safe. What's up? What'd you call about?
Yes, I'm in a 2005 KW, so I'm not really...
Not too shabby.
Truck, so I'm at home every night. That's great.
There you go.
But what I called is to quote something from The Matrix, and it basically says that freedom is, I don't know if I'm actually saying it's exactly right, but it's a paraphrase and I'm quoting it. It said that freedom is something that is, it is an illusion that is created by people with power.
Hmm.
And I have seen how those people live, and we are the working class people. We do not have any freedom. We do not have the freedom to be able to have the same, not even luxury, some of the necessities of life that the Constitution deemed every citizen should have.
Yeah, the pursuit of happiness. You know, there are two historic thinkers about this that I think are really important to share, because you raise a really important issue. Franklin Roosevelt, in a 1936 speech in July of 1936 in Philadelphia, made the comment that necessitous men are not free men. Now, necessitous is a word that isn't used much in these days. It was a big word in 1936. But basically, it means people who are hungry, people who can't make ends meet, people who are struggling. And he said, necessitous men are not free men. And then you look at Abraham Maslow, the famous psychologist who died in 1974 and created what's often called Maslow's hierarchy of human needs. And Maslow said that if you're the first needs that have to be fulfilled are the needs for physical safety and security, and the needs for what he called the homeostatic needs, the need to have food, to have medical care, to have clothing, to have shelter, you know, to keep your body going, right? And that once those needs are met, then you can attend to the higher things, you know, intellectual pursuits, things like liberty and freedom.
Exactly.
and whatnot. But when those things aren't met, you don't even have the ability, or a person doesn't even have the ability to be thinking about those things.
Exactly.
And that was the whole, I think that's what you're saying, and that's what Roosevelt was saying, and that's why he said we need to have, and Teddy Roosevelt, too, 30 years earlier, had been saying we need to have a minimum wage in the United States that is a living wage. And we need to change the rules of the game like we did in 1935 with the Wagner Act, so that workers can organize just like corporations can organize. I mean, Betsy DeVos can pull together millions and millions of dollars very quickly. Workers should be able to pull together very quickly and say, you know, this is our position. If you want us to work, this is what you have to pay us.
Exactly.
It's got to be a living wage. Sorry, otherwise it's not going to happen.
Yeah, and the other reason I hadn't called, because it just seems like the news has been so dismal lately, and I always like to have at least a word of encouragement for everyone. And speaking of the voter apathy, as you have touched on many times, it's not a policy. I mean, actually, apathy is people don't have the extra time to get involved. So
yeah.
We are the people who have this fine opportunity to be informed by your show. We have to speak out. And I have an example in which this is really just by voicing what we believe based on knowledge. has the opportunity to change so many people's lives, even from a brief contact, because I have brief contacts often with people. And I made a statement to a person, oh, that sounds like you'll be listening to Rush Limbaugh. And it was like, how can you tell? I can tell because of the type of phrasing. And I've known this person a while, and did not believe that they would have such a philosophy.
Yeah.
After just a few minutes of explaining the facts to the matter, they were able to at least consider a different attitude and toward the subject matter we was talking about. So
that's great.
With that being said, the Democratic Party really just needs to forget all about going tit for tat with George Bush and just home in on the point that the Iraqi people are going to get free health care. The Iraqi people are going to guaranteed
Social Security.
Social Security going to be guaranteed schools. They're building schools over there. They're building roads over there.
Free education, including college.
Thank you.
it's all in their constitution that we wrote.
Thank you.
And that we're paying for.
I don't care what John Kerry did with his medals.
Yeah.
Or ribbons. It's not an issue to get bogged down in this. There's plenty. Whether he flip-flop, I wouldn't answer. I don't argue with anyone any more concerning their points, because I've noticed, just like the guest you had on the other day, you can't argue with them using rational thought and conversation. I just do the same thing they do, and I say that you are ignorant.
Yeah, just
before you get upset, let me explain. It's the difference between being ignorant and stupid. Ignorance is a choice. You made a choice to adopt this philosophy based on a lack of knowledge.
Yeah, not me, but they. Yeah,
right.
I agree.
So I just tell them, and if that's your choice, fine, but you need to talk to someone who is not informed. I am informed.
There you go. Well said, Kodak. Thanks for the call. Thanks for cheering us on. and I'm glad to hear that you're still alive and kicking, and your truck is going to get fixed. And
I bought a new big dump truck.
Great.
With the four axles, call a quad, 2005. I'm home every day now. I get a chance to really be active in my community and some other things. I got a new fiance. So everybody's happy, really.
That's great. That's great. Glad to hear it. Thanks for the call, Kodak. Great to hear from you.
Thank you.
Keep on trucking. It's the Tom Hartman Radio Program, 19 minutes before the hour. Well, I want to give away a book here, a copy of We the People, A Call to Take Back America. And so here's our question. And the first person to answer the question correctly, who calls 1-866-889-8894, will win a copy of We the People, my new book, this illustrated book about the history of America. Here's the question. Although accusations of insider trading were made against George W. Bush in connection with his dumping most of his stock in Harkin Energy, the company that had bailed out his company, 2 months before it posted a $20 million loss, what may have been a deciding factor and the SEC's failure to file charges against him, unlike filing charges against Martha Stewart. Why did they go after Martha Stewart but not George W. Bush? And here are your four possible choices. A, Securities and Exchange Commission Chairman Richard Breeden was a former aide to Bush's father. B, Securities and Exchange Commission General Counsel John Doty, the head lawyer, was a former lawyer to Bush's father. C, Bush's father was president at the time. D, all of the above. Which do you think it is? The first person to call will win the book. In the meantime, Joe in Provo, Utah is on the line. Hey, Joe, welcome to the program. What's up?
Well, that's a no-brainer, Steve.
Yeah, well, I can't give it to you, Joe, because you were on hold. So we're gonna. It'll have to be the first caller. But
you deserve to have me buy your book because I really appreciate it.
Yeah. So what's up, Joe?
Well, I want to say hi to my brother Kodiak, my over-the-road brother there. I drive a truck over the road.
Uh-huh.
So I'm glad to hear things are going well. Your opening part of your program, have you ever heard of Hazel Henderson?
Hazel Henderson, oh, yeah. Yeah, yes, I have. The environmentalist and nuclear activist and whatnot, and writer.
No, that's Helen Caldicott. Hazel Henderson is the economist.
Oh, yes, okay, you're right. Actually, I have one of her books upstairs. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I've been talking with her. I'm a guy running the U.S. Senate. And they're working in Brazil, building a program down there.
By the way, let me just interrupt you, Joe, and let our listeners know that we have a winner in the contest, so you can stop dialing in, and we'll take him on the line right after we get off with you, Joe. So anyhow, you were saying...
Well, anyway, she's been building out the very proposition, a new economic paradigm. She's been talking about it for some time. She goes back to the 70s. And she's working with Brazil and some of the other countries down there to build out a program that allows for food, water, clothing, education, shelter, health care, recognizing that the poverty level, that's your minimum. That's your poverty level for your people in your country, and then you move upward from there.
Yeah.
And in that way, you eliminate crime, you eliminate so many of the negative aspects of our culture. We can do that. So,
yeah. There's so many ways to skin this cat, Joe, and yeah. You know, it's a fairly straightforward process. The one way not to do it, the one way not to create a fair culture, the one way not to have a decent middle class is to have absolute, unregulated, unrestrained, total corporations get to do anything they want. Workers have no power to balance the power of corporations. The conservative agenda. I mean, that will lead you to Dickensian. Well, it'll bring you back to the 1890s. Or it'll bring you back to a situation like, you know, they had in Europe when Dickens was writing, where you've got a huge class of terrified people, and you've got, of terrified workers desperate for their jobs, and you've got a very small class of very, very wealthy people. And it's just and that is not conducive to democracy. That's only conducive to aristocracy. Joe, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Good to hear from you. Okay, real quick.
All right. You know why we haven't won any wars since World War II?
Why?
Because World War II, the whole country was involved in the war, and ever since then, only the poor have been involved in the war. And this young man, Stillman, that died, was killed.
Yeah.
He was an NFL player, brought that home for me big time, and it occurred to me that that's our problem. When they go to vote for war, what they should be up against is this. If he was willing to sacrifice his career and life and everything, as so many others have already, what we need to do as a nation is we shut down football, basketball, baseball, NASCAR. We shut all that stuff
down. Yeah, make the sacrifices like we did during World War II. Good point, Joe. I appreciate it. And that's the thing. I think a lot of people were really baffled when George Bush said, you know, we're going to go to war. The whole nation is committed to this. We're going to throw everything we've got at it. And by the way, go out and shop. And it's like, what? Okay, line 3 is our winner, Michael in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Michael, here the question again. This is Michael, right?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Oh, yeah, I'm great. Here, Michael, here's the question. Although accusations of insider trading were made against George W. Bush in connection with his dumping most of his stock in Harkin Energy 2 months before it posted a $20 million loss, which, as I recall, helped him walk away with an $800,000 profit, what may have been a deciding factor in the Security and Exchange Commission's failure to file charges against him? A, SEC Chairman Richard Breeden was a former aide to Bush's father. B, SEC General Counsel John Doty was a former lawyer to Bush's father. C, Bush's father was president at the time. D, all of the above. What is it?
That's got to be D, all of the above.
There you go. As the George W. Bush quiz book by Paul Slansky notes, there's so much that's shady about this deal. SEC records show that Bush, as a company director, had been warned of Harkin's impending financial doom at least twice during the month he cashed out. Bush himself was never questioned in the investigations, and 4 times Bush missed federally mandated filing deadlines by more than 3 months, thus concealing his transactions from average shareholders. Although he had an explanation for that, he says he filed on time and the SEC must have misplaced his paperwork 4 times. So, Michael, thanks. Congratulations on winning the book. And did you give us your address and all that kind of thing?
No, not yet.
Okay.
I had a comment real quick.
Okay, sure.
I just finished reading your book, The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight.
Uh-huh.
And I wanted to recommend that to all your listeners that haven't got a chance to read it yet. It's a wonderful book. I think you're doing a great job, so keep up the work.
Well, thank you, Michael. Thanks for the plug. I appreciate it. I'm going to put you on hold. I'm going to put you on hold here, and Louise will take your address. We'll get another book off to you that you can read here. Thank you, Michael. 1-866-889-8894. Tom in Grand Rapids, Michigan is on the line. Hey, Tom, what's up?
How you doing?
I'm great, but I'll get better. And you?
Well, I just wanted to call, and maybe your listeners would be interested in knowing a little more about Betsy DeVos and her positions.
Okay.
You mentioned her tie to AltaCorp, and the Van Andel and DeVos families have done wonders around here. Their name's on pretty much every building around. But Amway is the biggest portion of AltaCorp, and Amway is very successful, and right now their biggest market is Amway Asia Pacific in China.
Oh, that's interesting.
I wonder if they're paying any taxes on all those profits that are coming back to them.
It's a good question. I don't know. A relative of mine works for Amway, actually, in near Grand Rapids.
So well, I've got friends of mine that are working for Amway that have survived a lot of cuts over there, and they're all scared to death. All their jobs are going to get shipped overseas as well.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it's a scary time.
Get an idea where she's coming from.
It's a scary time. Yep. Okay, Tom. Thank you. It's you're spot on. Right. I mean, this is just and should it surprise anybody that this is the person who's the chairman of the Republican Party for Michigan? I mean, does it surprise you, Tom?
Absolutely not.
I mean, it's just, this is Tom in Grand Rapids, right? Yeah.
Right.
It's just, you know, wow, you know, she's saying, yeah, high wages are the problem in Michigan. Yes, high wages. Too much money we're giving these workers. Tom, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Great to hear from
you. Thank you.
It's the Tom Hartman Radio Program. Helping you win the water cooler wars with uncommon sense from the radical middle. 10 minutes before the hour. We'll be right back.
Are you frustrated by your constant inability to lose weight? Are you looking for a natural, clinically proven weight loss breakthrough? Introducing CarboBlocker. Unlike anything else on the market, CarboBlocker is backed by clinical research that proves it effectively helps block the fattening effects of carbs without stimulants. Your body will think you're eating a low-carb diet even when you're not. The results are simply amazing. If you want to maintain the weight loss effects of low-carb dieting for the long run, if you're tired of clothes that are too tight and you want to look fit and sexy, then CarboBlocker is for you. It's clinically effective. Formula is safe, natural, and stimulant-free. And as a special introductory offer, when you order 2 bottles of Carbo Blocker, you'll get 2 bottles of Appetite Blocker absolutely free. Call in the next 10 minutes, and you'll also receive 2 free books, Lose Fat Now and the Low Carb Cookbook, a $100 value, absolutely free. So call now, 1-800-743-5704. Guaranteed to work or your money back, so call now, 1-800-743-5704. That's 1-800-743-5704.
The Founding Fathers thought they'd stop corporations from ever overthrowing elected government. Little did they know that 200 years later, democracy would be stolen and twisted in the name of so-called conservative values. Hi, this is Tom Hartman. The founders of America fought the Revolutionary War against the excessive corporate power of the East India Company, and presidents from Jefferson to Eisenhower warned us that extremely big businesses could destroy democracy. You'll find this extraordinary American story in my book, Unequal Protection, The Rise of Corporate Dominance and the Theft of Human Rights. It starts with the Boston Tea Party and ends with the rampant corruption of the Bush administration. It tells the dramatic story of how corporations hijacked the Bill of Rights, setting the stage for the CEO takeover of America. And it shows how we can take America back and tells the stories of Americans from Pennsylvania to California who are doing just that right now.
Unequal Protection is available in bookstores nationwide. And you can read several chapters online at unequalprotection.com. That's Unequal Protection by Tom Hartman.
Are you or a loved one making too many trips to the bathroom? Listen closely because you're not alone. Over 30 million men suffer from an enlarged prostate. That's why if you make frequent trips to the bathroom, have urgency, hesitancy, or a diminished sex drive, then Super Prostate Formula is for you. It was designed by nationally recognized physician Dr. Michael Toplitzky. The results with his patients have been amazing. Reclaim control now and join the thousands of satisfied customers who have had incredible results with Super Prostate Formula. When you order 2 bottles of Dr. Toplitzky's Super Prostate Formula, you'll also get 2 bottles of his Super Libido Formula, an all-natural alternative to Viagra to enhance sexual vitality and performance, plus his book, Complete Guide to Prostate Health, and his newsletter, a total $100 value free as your gift. Guaranteed or your money back. If you're not completely satisfied, return it for a full refund and keep his Libido Formula book and newsletter free as your gift. Not available in stores. Call now. 800-452-0978. 800-452-0978. That's 800-452-0978.
Expanding oil and gas drilling in the West is pitting one business interest against others. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. Oil and gas development is rapidly spreading in Western states, raising tension between the industry and local ranchers and business people. Scott Woodruff operates the Lander Llama Company Wilderness Expeditions. He offers backcountry trips on federal lands in the Wind River and Absarca Ranges in western Wyoming.
I'm not directly affected as of yet. However, it is moving our direction, and I think now is the time to say enough is enough in terms of a rapid expansion without any consideration to the long-term economic loss from visual values.
Like others in the region, Woodruff is not opposed to oil and gas development in general.
However, However, I am opposed to multiple use extraction on public lands at the expense of the physical and economic values the Red Desert, for example, offers. To suggest one economic value is more important than the other at the expense of eliminating the visual resource value and possibly the physical environmental value forever, that seems to be an unacceptable multiple use management plan.
Outdoor recreation, including hunting, fishing, and hiking, is Wyoming's second leading industry behind mining and drilling. But critics say federal policy favors the oil and gas industry over these local businesses. Woodruff says outfits such as his can't survive without unspoiled views and without the wildlife. He says we can't afford to ruin the last of these open spaces in our quest for energy.
I think Aldo Leopold said it best, having to squeeze the last drop of utility out of the land has the same desperate finality as it having to chop up the furniture to keep warm.
That's Scott Woodruff, owner of the Lander Llama Company in Lander, Wyoming. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
Yeah, dedicated to Kodak and Joe on Willie Nelson's birthday.
I can't wait to get on the road again. On the road again.
And welcome back. It's Tom Hartman here with you. Boy, what a terrible juxtaposition and intersection. Two stories today. Big stories. I mean, these are major stories. One, Reuters has published photos of Iraqi prisoners in Iraq, in one of the prisons in Iraq, where U.S. soldiers had, well, I'll quote Reuters. The pictures show U.S. troops smiling, posing, laughing, or giving the thumbs-up sign as naked male Iraqi prisoners were stacked in a pyramid or positioned to simulate sex acts with one another. In one of the other pictures, there's an Iraqi prisoner standing on a box with his arms outstretched, a hood over his head, and electric wires attached to his arm, told that if he moves, he's going to get electrocuted. These pictures are flashing all over the planet, particularly in the Arab media. And they are flipping out the Arab world. Now the in defense of the United States, the pictures of the soldiers depicted and the general who's in charge of the prison are all in deep trouble. There are going to be court martials. People are going to be drummed out of the army over this. But it happened. And at the same time, yesterday, Qatar's former minister, or sometimes it's pronounced Guter or Guter. Anyhow, Qatar's former foreign minister said yesterday, this after a meeting at the White House with Dick Cheney and Don Rumsfeld, he said he's going to seek a review of Arabic television station Al Jazeera. See, Al Jazeera is based in Qatar, and it gets a stipend from the government, sort of like NPR. And now the Iraqi foreign minister is coming under pressure from Cheney and Rumsfeld. He says, we will take back this concern to Al Jazeera, and they have to review it. Because we need Al Jazeera to be professional, and we don't want anybody to send lies or to send the wrong information. He also, at the same time, pointed out that this Hamad is his name, Qatar's foreign minister Hamad bin Jassim. Hamad also discussed plans to sharply increase liquefied natural gas sales to the United States. He told reporters, quote, there is some agreement to send more gas, around 20 million tons of gas, to the United States. And then the story here in Reuters goes on to point out the Bush administration has warned Qatar its relations with the United States were clouded by what it called inflammatory coverage of Iraq by Al Jazeera. Yes, we are in favor of a free press, unless it says things we don't like, sort of like Sinclair Media. 2 minutes before the hour, it's the Tom Hartman radio program. Defending America from the conservative weapons of mass deception.
You've been been listening to the Tom Hartman Program, check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
They are delicious. Connoisseurs love them. They're imported from France. They're certified eco-friendly. And they're reasonably priced. What am I talking about? Eco Wines. One of the best-kept secrets in America. Eco Wines from the south of France. Brought to you since 1980 by my company, the Organic Wine Company. My name is Véronique. I select these earth-friendly wines personally. They are made with organic grapes. They burst with life and flavor. Our number? Easy to remember. 1-888-ECO-WINE. Our site? Easy to find. EcoWine.com. See, if you're going to eat, eat organic. If you're going to drink, drink wisely. Drink organic. Our future depends on it. Remember our number? 1-888-ECO-WINE. And that is ECOWINE.
Pop and not-so-pop culture, democracy, and the news of the day. This is the Tom Hartman Program.
News break from the Minuteman News Service.
This is Michael Stinson in Hawaii. Leaders of last Sunday's March for Women's Lives held a news conference on Capitol Hill Thursday to repeat their demand for an apology from Bush campaign advisor Karen Hughes for her remarks about abortion rights. A call for Hughes to resign was made Thursday by Martha Burke, head of the National Council of Women's Organizations. She has called your mothers, your aunts, your grandmothers, your daughters, your sons, and husbands terrorists. This has got to stop. It is the worst kind of McCarthyism. You cannot speak out in this country anymore without being called a traitor. The highest form of patriotism is to speak out against policies that do not benefit the citizens of your country, Burke said. This must stop. She owes an apology, if not a resignation. Bush and Cheney were questioned in the Oval Office for about 3 hours on Thursday by the 911 Commission. No one can say for sure what was talked about, as there were no recordings made, nor video cameras or even notes allowed, and both refused to take an oath or give public testimony. The commission was searched by hand for weapons, and at the end, their notebooks were taken from them before they left the session, with the White House saying they would be returned after being reviewed for classified information. Bush had initially opposed creation of the panel, and his lawyers struggled for months last year to prevent the commissions from getting access to highly classified Oval Office intelligence reports. The head of the United States occupation in Iraq, L. Paul Bremer, warned 6 months before the September 11th attacks that the Bush administration seemed to be paying no attention to terrorism and appeared to stagger along on the issue. Mr. Bremer, who in 1999 was chairman of a National Commission on Terrorism, gave a speech on February 26, 2001, in which he said the general terrorist threat was increasing. The new administration seems to be paying no attention to the problem of terrorism, Mr. Bremer said in his speech. What they will do is stagger along until there's a major incident and then suddenly say, oh my God, shouldn't we be organized to deal with this?
More after this.
Military veterans deserve better. They must wait endlessly for basic health care from the Department of Veterans Affairs. If you or a military veteran you know is one of the many heroes waiting for VA health care, the American Legion wants to tell your story to your elected officials in Washington, D.C. Call toll-free 1-866-539-2509 or visit www.legion.org today. The number again, 1-866-539-2509. We'll tell your story where it matters.
A Washington State backpack maker has discovered a lot of profit to be made by insulting a president. Labels on most of the backpacks, messenger, and laptop bags made and sold by Tom Benn have his company's contact information, along with washing instructions in English and French on a tiny tag, along with a message in French that translates as, "We are sorry that our president is an idiot. We did not vote for him." The popularity of the bags and interest in the label has also spawned a new product from the company, T-shirts featuring an enlarged version of the label on the front. Profits from these T-shirts are being donated to the Seattle Veterans Center, Ben said. For Minuteman News Service, this is Michael Stinson in Hawaii.
Minuteman News Break is a production of TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Step
Step right up, seniors, for it's time to play Medicare Gotcha. As you know, the drug companies have been ripping off us consumers, charging exorbitant prices in the U.S. for medicines they sell elsewhere for half or even a third as much. Because of public outrage over this gouging, Bush and his Congress had to look like they were doing something. So last year they rammed into law the Medicare Drug Discount Program for senior citizens. The program, which begins in June, is a bedazzling, convoluted, privatized shell game rigged with enough trickery to make a county fair flim-flammer blush. Start with the fact that rather than simply stopping the price gouging, as other countries have done, Bush's program subsidizes it, putting some $139 billion of our tax money into the pockets of the drug giants. Then there's the corporate hucksterism built into the new system. If you think phone company come-ons are confusing, wait till you try to compare the dizzying array of private drug discount plans that'll fill your mailbox. Pharmacy chains, drug companies, insurance peddlers, online firms, and others will try to lure you into taking their card. They'll all offer different enrollment fees, different discounts on their list of drugs, and different lists of drugs that they cover. Not only will each company have its own price list, but, grab your wallet, their prices can change weekly. Yes, this means that a company can hook you into taking its card by offering low prices on the medicines you use most often, then, gotcha, jack up its prices the next week. Well, you say, if they do that, I'll just switch companies. Gotcha again. Bush's law only lets you switch cards once a year. This is Jim Hightower saying, getting the medicines you need ought not to be a game, much less a game rigged to enrich drug industry ripoff artists. It's time for a national health plan in America, based on people's needs, not on drug company profits.
Sometimes it takes an army to help one child. It's the Salvation Army, and it needs your help to send needy children to camp this summer. To donate, call 1-800-SALARMY or donate online at 1-800-SALARMY.org. This army can't help a single child without you.
It's a wild day here at the stock market. Let's talk to some traders. How are you doing?
I'm taking a shelling, but I'm still gelling.
Okay, and how about you?
I'm gelling and selling. Gelling and selling.
My trades are smelling.
Mine too, but who cares?
We're gelling.
Are you gelling yet? Dr. Scholl's massaging gel insoles are made from the softest gel ever created. If you and your feet don't feel outrageously comfortable, you get your money back. Guaranteed. Are you gelling? Dr. Scholl's.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome back, my friends. It's the second hour of our Friday afternoon program. Time for Brunch with Bernie, Brunch with Congressman Bernie Sanders, America's independent congressman in 1991. Bernie Sanders became the first independent congressman elected in 40 years. He has since been reelected five times. He's the longest serving independent in the history of the House of Representatives. Congressman Sanders, welcome. Welcome to our program.
Good to be with you, Tom.
Oh, it's always great to have you on here. Bernie, the story of the day, there's a bunch of them, but it's Sinclair Broadcasting. Let me just share just a couple of little quick factoids about this, and I want to get your thoughts on this. In September of 2001, Sinclair Broadcasting, now what's going to happen is tonight Ted Koppel is going to read this list of the Iraqi war dead, and Sinclair owns a bunch of TV stations around the country, and they've instructed them not to run it. There are many of them. Back in September 2001, they required their affiliates to air messages, quote, conveying full support, end quote, for the Bush administration. At Baltimore affiliate WBFF, quote, officials required news and sports anchors, even a weather forecaster, to read the messages, which included statements such as, this statement wants you to know that we stand 100% behind our president. Number one. Number two, they refused to run an ad pointing out an error that the George Bush made. In July of 2003, they refused to add to air a DNC advertisement that featured a clip of President Bush making the false claim about uranium. Number three, they've been firing news staff all around the country and centralizing their news out of an office in Baltimore, making it look like it's local. And Sinclair Corporate Communications Chairman Chief Mark Hyman regularly refers to the French as cheese-eating surrender monkeys, talks about the so-called liberal media as the hate America crowd, and calls progressives the lonely left. And the Sinclair stations were the ones that ran the fake news produced by the Bush administration, where they had that phony newscaster. That was the WPGH in Pittsburgh, the Sinclair Broadcasting Station, that had fired much of his news staff in favor of feeds from their centralized. And now we find out that the head of the CEO, David Smith, has given the maximum allowed by law to the Bush administration. So I'm ranting on about this. What are your thoughts on this, Bernie?
Well, you and I have talked, and I know you work on this issue a whole lot. The concentration of ownership in media in America and the degree to which a handful of large corporations control what we see, hear, and read. And I can't think of any example which makes this point more crystal clear than what Sinclair Broadcast is doing tonight. Tonight, Ted Koppel has decided that given the fact that we have lost over 700 men and women in Iraq, that about five times that number have been wounded, some of them are amputees, terribly wounded, he thought it would be a good thing that regardless of your position on the war, I am opposed to the war, you are opposed to the war, but regardless of one's position on the war, that for one half an hour we see the faces of these men and women who have died. I don't think that is a political issue. I think that's an issue where the American people pay homage and respect to young people. I think the average age is perhaps 23 years of age, seven from the state of Vermont who have died. And to see that these right-wing folks at Sinclair Broadcast have decided that people all over the country in the affiliates that they own, ABC affiliates that they own, will not see this, while at the same time, on other occasions, they are busy pushing George Bush's line, it is very, very frightening. Very frightening indeed. And when I talk about the need to make corporate control of the media a political issue, this is exactly what I'm talking about and what I fear. And I would hope that all over America, people will write to Sinclair. They will write to the people who advertise on Sinclair, call them up and say, wait a second, if you want us to be watching your program, you better not be doing this anymore. We should be in communication with the FEC as well.
Yeah, you know, when Ben Bagdikian first wrote his book, The Media Monopoly, back, I don't know, must have been 15 years ago, the first edition, and he pointed out the incredibly rapid aggregation of media after Reagan suspended enforcement of the Sherman Antitrust Act, and he predicted, essentially, that someday what would happen is that these corporations would start promoting political agendas that would be to the benefit of corporate power. And everybody said, no, this is just about making money. This is just about efficiencies and economies of scale and all that sort of thing. And I guess we're seeing that his forecast came true.
Well, according to the Center for Responsive Politics, which you may be familiar with, it's an excellent organization that tracks money in politics, Sinclair executives have donated more than $16,000 in hard money and more than $120,000 in soft money to President Bush and his allies since the year 2000. So like Fox Television, what you're seeing now is not television that, you know, brings all points of view, but really a propaganda arm of the Republican Party. We have written, my office, my congressional office, will be working with other members of Congress to communicate our very serious displeasure to the FEC about this.
Do you mind, Bernie, if I read four sentences from your letter to the CEO of Sinclair?
Please.
This is just marvelous. Our Congressman Sanders wrote to the CEO of Sinclair Media, "Your company's shameful and cynical statements disrespect both the victims of terrorism and the brave Americans who have made the ultimate sacrifice in the Persian Gulf. It is an outrage to suggest that giving recognition to the fallen in Iraq is an attempt to sabotage their mission. These American heroes deserve to be heralded, not hidden in the closet. Your company's censorship sets a dangerous precedent that is contrary to the First Amendment and America's long tradition of access to information."
I have to tell you, Tom, this, it really does upset me, and it upsets me because these folks have so much power in determining what we see and hear and shaping public opinion. But what also upsets me is these guys like this war so much, they're so proud of the soldiers, that they cannot for a few minutes allow people to see the results of that war. And it's the same issue of why the president and the Pentagon are so nervous about any photographs of the caskets coming back. And these are not disrespectful photographs.
Yeah.
But, you know, war, when you're at war, you pay a price. And the price is now that over 700 of our young people are dead. Many, many thousands of Iraqis are dead. Many of our soldiers and Iraqis are wounded. And in assessing the degree to which this war has made sense, that is certainly one of the issues that we've got to look at. And I really resent people who say, no, we don't want to look at that at all.
Yeah, in fact, in your letter to Sinclair, you said, frankly, to censor information you disagree with has very little to do with freedom and what makes this country great. It sounds more like totalitarianism. Yeah. Well said, Bernie. Let's go to our phone lines. 1-866-889-8894 is our number if you'd like to be on. And Chris in New Mexico is on the line. Hey, Chris, welcome to the show.
Well, hello, Tom, Congressman. Hello, sir. You're one of my heroes.
Thank you.
It's clear that the perception, at least Sinclair's perception, is that by simply naming and showing the faces of our war dead, that will do political damage to George W. Bush and somehow hurt the war effort. And that makes it obvious that even the people who publicly proclaim that we're doing the right thing in Iraq don't really believe that these deaths are necessary or above board, or they wouldn't be so afraid of letting people see it.
Well, I agree with that, Chris. I mean, what these faces of young men and some young women show is the cost of the war, that these are real kids cut down in the prime of their lives, in a time when many Americans think we're getting more and more into a morass over there, and not allowing the American people to be able to see these young people who made the ultimate sacrifice, to me, is just an outrage.
Yeah, I think that the letter that John McCain wrote to Sinclair is you know, says it very, very well. Fantastic. You have a good day, gentlemen.
Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it. 1-866-889-8894, our telephone number, if you'd like to be on with Congressman Bernie Sanders, the independent of Vermont. Bernie, the other cost is, you know, we've spent about, or we're coming up here now, on $200 billion in Iraq.
Right.
If the 200 largest cities in America, which gets you down to cities, you know, the size of Lansing, Michigan, and, you know, the Grand Rapids, I mean, you know, in the top 200, if the 200 largest cities in America each received $1 billion this year, can you imagine what a city could do?
Right.
I mean, you know, Burlington,
you
Vermont,
know, Tom,
what they could do with $1 billion?
Tom, you can't imagine. Nobody can imagine. Think of what it would do for job creation, for improvements, schools, for lowering taxes for the middle class and working families. But essentially, and one of the frustrations of what goes on in Washington is we spend hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of billions of dollars, not only on war, but on corporate welfare, on tax breaks for billionaires. And the American people never get a chance to see what money can do to improve the quality of their own lives in terms of education, health care, environmental protection. And that's a real unfortunate aspect of what goes on in the Congress today.
Yeah, Bernie, I'd like to get your thoughts on Betsy DeVos, the chairman of the Republican State Party in Michigan, in the state of Michigan, has made the comment. This was actually in a prepared statement. It wasn't one of those, you know, kind of faux pas. Many, if not most, of the economic problems in Michigan are the result of high wages. And she goes on to talk. She goes on to talk about how
this is a thought out statement.
Yeah, this is a prepared statement. In fact,
well,
she says,
"Look, I mean, let's be fair. You have a lot of these folks in the Republican leadership who really do believe that American workers should be competing against people in China who make 20 or 30 cents an hour."
Yeah.
And I am quite sure that Betty has a point that if we could lower wages in Michigan and other states to 20 or 30 cents an hour, I am absolutely confident that some of these corporations would start reinvesting in America. So if that's the economic plank of the Republican Party, let them go out and let them proclaim it from one end of this country to the other. You should know, Tom, I mean, it's not widely publicized, but my strong belief is that on the floor of the House today, a majority of the Republican Party, members of the Republican Party, believe not only in not raising the minimum wage above the abysmal $5.15 an hour that it currently is nationally, they would abolish the minimum wage.
Yeah.
Alan Greenspan has told me in committee meeting he believes in the abolition of the minimum wage. So the chairperson of the Republican Party
for the
in
state,
Michigan?
Yeah, for the state of Michigan, Betsy DeVos.
Well, let's give her credit for speaking the truth. That's what they believe. Workers in America should work for pennies while the CEOs make 500 times more than the workers. That's the America they envisage, and that's the America we have got to fight against.
Yeah, she can afford to say it, I suppose. Her father sold the family business in 1996 for $1.35 billion.
But it is frustrating. I mean, I'm glad that you're raising this issue. I hope it's being raised all over the state of Michigan. It's all over the state of America. You know.
Yeah. Well, we're on two stations in Michigan, WSDS in Ann Arbor and Western Detroit. And
well, workers in Michigan, you think you're making too much money?
Yeah.
That's the issue.
It would be great.
You think we should lower wages? And that's the way, you know, this whole thing ties into what many of these right-wing people call economic growth. They look at averages. They look at broad statistics without looking at what is happening to the average American worker. And the reality is our middle class is shrinking while the gap between the rich and the poor is growing wider, something which I'm sure the Republican leadership is delighted with.
Yeah, and unfortunately. We're talking with Congressman Bernie Sanders. It's Brunch with Bernie, our afternoon segment. If you'd like to be on 1-866-889-8894, 20 minutes past the hour. We'll be right back.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Wakefield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
Do you know that grapes are one of the most heavily sprayed of all agricultural products? Most people don't. But that is why it's so very important to drink wines that are made with certified organic grapes. And that is exactly what we are inviting you to do today. Taste our wines. We select them personally. They come from small properties in the south of France. They are delicious. Connoisseurs love them. And they are earth-friendly. My name is Véronique. I founded the Organic Wine Company in 1980 for people just like you. People who love wine and want to do well by our earth. Call us at 1-888-ECO-WINE. We'll answer all your questions. I look forward to talking with you. Call 1-888-ECO-WINE, and that is ECOWINE.
Here's today's Dow Bob Report. New analysis from researchers at the University of California at Berkeley portend a troublesome future for workers in Silicon Valley. They predict 1 in 6 current high-tech jobs in the Valley could be sent overseas in the coming years. For the total U.S. workforce, the risk of being outsourced is 1 in 10. They also forecast a rise in offshoring for more clerical-type work, like jobs involving paralegal skills or the processing of medical and insurance claims.
The war they are in has been declared over by the same man who lied them into it. Their reward? Combat pay cut in half. $1.5 billion cut to their family housing. $20 billion cut to military health care. No health care for reservists.
My answer is bring them on.
Thousands wounded, hundreds dead, and no end in sight. If we support our troops, why can't Bush? Or is this what they mean when they say an army of one?
Hey, how you doing? Got a quick question.
Yeah?
Who was Rudolf Nureyev?
Rudy Nureyev.
Rudy.
Okay, I know this one.
Good.
Wasn't he that... Nureyev?
Nureyev.
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 Wasn't he a defenseman for the Maple Leafs?
Sure about that?
could have been a goalie.
Yeah. Hey, how you doing? Who was Louis Armstrong?
That's easy. He was the first guy on the moon.
Really?
You know, one small step for man.
Sure, one giant leap for Louis. Hey, young lady.
Uh-huh.
Does the name Caravaggio mean anything to you?
Wasn't he the guy that went out with that mob guy's sister until he got whacked?
You know, no.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Nureyev's dance, Armstrong's horn, and Caravaggio's brush. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought...
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Pancho was a bandit boy. His horse was fast as polished steel. He wore his gun outside his pants for all the honest world to feel. Well, Pancho met his match, you know, on the deserts down in Mexico. Nobody heard his dying.
And happy birthday to Willie Nelson today. And welcome back. It's Tom Hartman, the Tom Hartman Radio Program, our Brunch with Bernie segment, our hour with Congressman Bernie Sanders, one of my favorite hours of the week. And 1-866-889-8894, our telephone number if you'd like to be on the air with Congressman Sanders. Steve in Michigan is on the line. Hey, Steve, welcome to the program.
Hey, happy Friday to you guys.
Thanks.
First off, Congressman, much respect to you here from us in Michigan. And very glad that while you're not from Michigan, that you're working hard for us, Democrats and liberals here in Michigan, even though I know you're an independent.
Right.
I had a couple comments. First off, you were talking about the media conglomerates, corporations and such.
Right.
I actually here in Michigan work for one of the biggest media giants in the country. I won't name names because you could be out of one of their stations right now, but I can tell you from the inside, I'm frightened as to what's happening. Not only from a standpoint as an employee, but what's happening as far as the public goes. I can't believe people aren't more upset about this. A lot of people, I don't think, realize that there's a few people that are controlling what's going on over the public airwaves.
That's right.
Millions and millions and millions of people.
Yeah.
So see, that is the real issue. Every single morning in newspapers throughout this country, in radio and in television, a group of people sit down and they say, okay, this is what the American people will be learning today. And what they learn and what they hear is very different than what Tom Hartman discusses on his show and other progressives discuss. It's a different world. And these people have enormous power in shaping public opinion in America, and it's very, very frightening.
Bernie, Steve, thanks for the call. I appreciate your comments. Isn't the solution, Bernie, to simply bring back enforcement of the Sherman Antitrust Act? I mean, you know.
That's one of many things that we have got to do. There has got to be diversity of opinion in America. I mean, just stop for a minute, Tom, and I want the listeners to think about it. NBC, among others. NBC is owned by General Electric, one of the large corporations in America, a company which is outsourcing like mad, shutting down American plants, moving to China and elsewhere, an anti-union company charged with a number of environmental irregularities. Does anybody have the slightest doubt about the massive conflicts of interest that exist between the company and their news department?
Well, and their programming. I mean, they pulled Phil Donahue off MSNBC when he had higher ratings than Chris Matthews.
Right. Yeah, I mean, does anybody have for a moment, does anyone naive enough to believe there's this really solid wall between corporate interests and the news? Not for a moment should anyone believe that. So the issue here is not, and then I must confess that all of this right-wing news media tells us how liberal the news media is, which is almost funny if it wasn't so pathetic. But the key concern that I have is not the right only the right-wing bent of the media. It is the enormous issues that are virtually not discussed. Yeah. Just stop for a moment. This is the only country, we're the only nation in America that does not have a national health care program guaranteeing health care to all people. The only industrialized nation in the world. We pay twice as much per person per health care as any other nation. 43 million Americans have no health insurance. Tom, how often when you turn on corporate television do you hear a discussion about the need for national health care, just even comparing our system to other systems?
Never. 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 I mean, it's just never. It's just doesn't
happen.
You
walk out on the street, you talk to business people, you talk to workers, what do they tell you? They say, hey, the healthcare system is disintegrating.
Yeah.
And yet we don't hear any alternatives.
Yeah. Yeah. These are the symptoms of what happens. And we need to relocalize our media. I agree. It's the Tom Hartman radio program. 29 minutes past the hour. Brunch with Bernie, Congressman Bernie Sanders. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
A must read, The Edison Gene, ADHD and the Gift of the Hunter Child by Tom Hartman, best-selling author of Attention Deficit Disorder, A Different Perception. Ed Halliwell, a nationally recognized expert on ADD, said this about The Edison Gene.
Tom Hartman demonstrates that ADHD can be associated with creativity, high achievement, and a most successful adaptive style.
The Edison Gene, now available in bookstores everywhere.
Pop and not-so-pop culture, democracy, and the news of the day. This is the Tom Hartman Program.
This is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm Sarah Turner.
Yet another attempt is underway in Congress to stiffen the penalties for those who willingly flaunt workplace safety standards, which lead to the death of someone on the job. An average of 100 people are killed at work every year due to the willful neglect of safety rules. But those responsible can only be punished with 6 months in jail and a fine. A new bill has been introduced in the Senate, which would increase that punishment to a 10-year prison sentence. But don't hold your breath. Similar legislation was introduced on Capitol Hill last year and went nowhere.
After a two-year struggle for a union, bulletproof vest makers at Point Blank Body Armor in South Florida finally have a contract with the United Needle Industries and Textile Employees Union. The 150 mostly Latino and Haitian workers suffered under horrendous working conditions, poor pay, and inadequate benefits. When the workers demanded management recognize their union, the leaders were fired and a bitter strike ensued. After a massive pressure campaign, including rallies and pickets, a federal judge ordered an injunction of Point Blank, forcing the company to rehire workers who had been illegally fired for union activity. Point Blank agreed there would not have to be a union election, and shortly thereafter, the majority of employees signed union authorization cards. Harris Rayner is the Southern Regional Director for Unite.
And within basically a 36-hour period, we had our union, we had our contract, the workers had their first guaranteed raises, all the standard clauses for arbitration of grievances, and created a retirement plan for the workers.
South Korea's new labor-oriented political party is beginning to have some effects on the relationship between unions and Korean companies less than a month after its debut, in part due to the surprising victory of the Korean Democratic Labor Party, which took 10 seats in the National Assembly. Tiremaker Kumho today settled the dispute with its union over the status of long-term temporary workers. According to the agreement, any temporary worker who's been with Kumho Tires longer than 2 years will become a full-time employee immediately. The rest qualify for permanent status at the end of next year. The practice of long-term temping is very common in South Korea, and it's hoped this deal sets a trend to break that cycle. Here's today's Dow Bob Report. What began as legislation designed to bring the United States into compliance with the World Trade Organization has turned into a free-for-all on Capitol Hill. A bill to phase out about $5 billion worth of subsidies for exporting U.S. goods now includes more than $170 billion in tax cuts for a variety of industries, including some $37 billion in tax relief targeted for companies with offshore subsidiaries. Opponents of the bill worry that may provide an incentive to send more jobs out of the country.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
This is the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman.
What a wonderful, wonderful world this would be. What a wonderful, 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 wonderful world.
And welcome back. 26 minutes before the hour. Maybe we can create a wonderful, wonderful world. I really think there's a lot of opportunity and possibility here, and I know you do too, Bernie.
You know, there is. And no matter how, you know, how bad the situation may look, we can never afford to give up the vision and the hope that this world will be very different. Not only, maybe not in our lifetimes, but in the future. And that vision and hope has got to sustain us.
Yeah. And hopefully we can do it in our lifetimes. That would be nice. That would be really nice. 1-866-889-8894, our telephone number. And Jeff in Denver's on the line. Hey, Jeff, welcome to the program.
Hi. A couple of days ago, Bernie, Tom and I were talking about, I was asking Tom about citizen recourse, like, you know, where a president can be impeached, and we have the power to sue the executive branch and so forth. What about the judicial branch, and actually, what about Congress? Can we sue the judicial branch?
Jeff, let me be very blunt with you on this, and you may not be happy with my answer. What we have right now is a situation where big money and right-wing Republicans control the Congress, they control the court system, they control the United States Senate. And there's nothing that you're going to do through the courts and no efforts to impeach that are going to go anywhere. There is one struggle that we have got to engage in, where we have, in my view, a good chance of winning if we do it the right way. And that is massively organize people, register people to vote, make sure that they get out to vote, and let us win this election in November. And I think that's where all of our energy should go. Let me tell you, there will be nothing. You know, we can't even get a bill to raise the minimum wage onto the floor of the House. You're surely not going to go very far for an impeachment effort. The goal right now is to organize and defeat George Bush in November.
And to bring two-party system back to the Senate and the House of Representatives.
That's right. Okay. So, I mean, I know that many listeners are outraged. They're very upset about everything that the Bush administration does. And let me tell you, a number of us in Congress share that outrage. We're there every single day. We see these absurd priorities that are taking place.
Yeah.
But we have got to focus our attention, in my view, on the election in November. That's where we've got to put our energy. We've got to register people. If everybody who is listening to this program now, in the next 6 months, registers 10 people to vote, you can have a profound impact on the electoral process, and we could do even better than that.
You know, when Jeff had called earlier in the week, and he's still on the line here, he had asked, I guess, maybe more of a theoretical question, and that is, we know that there's a provision in the Constitution for the impeachment of the president, and for the impeachment of members of Congress. Is, you know, Scalia, his duck hunting, all this stuff, you know, is there a provision for the impeachment of members of the Supreme Court?
I believe there is, yes.
Yeah, that was.
And
that was
also, you know, just as we can sue the executive branch for not, you know, not enforcing laws and so forth, can the judicial branch be sued?
Yeah.
I believe they could.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I believe they could, theoretically.
Yeah. Okay.
But again, Jeff, do you understand where I'm coming from on this?
Oh, I'm working on getting out the vote. I'm trying to get 1,000 people to vote.
That's fantastic. And that's the kind of spirit that we need. I mean, I think we talked a moment ago how the media very often distorts reality. They ignore issues of huge consequence for the vast majority of our people. In my view, on issue after issue, when you look at the issues, when you hear the chairwoman of the Republican Party in Michigan saying the major problem with our economy, do I have it right, Tom, is that wages
are too high? Yes, wages are too high.
Is that what you said?
With the economy in Michigan. That's the problem in Michigan. The wages are too high.
Wages are too high. Well, that's that. I mean, to the degree that the American people hear that kind of insanity, we win. These people do not represent anywhere near a majority of the American people. They represent the richest 2 or 3%. And, Jeff, if you're going to register 1,000 people and people listening to this program, get out there and work on this campaign. We're going to win this election, and this will be a one-term president.
Yeah, well said. And thanks for the call, Jeff. Bernie, something very, very troubling just came across my desk here. Odds are that you don't know about it, and I wanted to just share it with you and get your take on it. Bev Harris is the woman who wrote a book called Black Box Voting. She has a website, blackboxvoting.com. And, you know, when a website gets visited, You get, like, for example, I have a website. You have a website, too. We both have websites. And when somebody visits your website, the website actually captures the IP address, the unique identifier of the person who has looked at the website. I mean, this is how they knew that Jose Padilla was looking at how to make dirty bombs on the Internet. And Bev Harris has this website about the corporate control of voting machines. And she was just visited by the Secret Service. And she writes yesterday, she says, "Hi, Agent Mike. He says not to tell folks about the investigation they're doing, but she sent me this letter. She said, I'm telling people anyway. She said, it appears they may be using the Patriot Act to circumvent some of the civil rights protections laid down in the 60s. You see, it's illegal for a government agency to go in and demand the list of all the members of a group. And you can't investigate leaks to journalists by going in and grabbing the reporter's computer." And so she now has been interviewed by the Secret Service about five times. Most of it is spent on the Diebold memos. She's the one who publicized all the Diebold shenanigans and brought it into the press, which they claim they are not investigating. And then she says, under the Patriot Act, this is what they tell her, under the Patriot Act, hacking crimes were turned over to a new division called the Cyber Crimes Division and placed under the auspices of the Secret Service. And they are now demanding that she give them the IP addresses of every person who has ever visited her website.
Oh, is this what she is saying?
That's it. I mean, I'll quote you from her. And she said, "And let me tell you what they want. They want the logs of my website with all the forum messages and the IP addresses. That's right, all of them. A giant fishing expedition for every communication of everyone interested in the electronic voting issue." She says, "So yesterday they call me up and tell me they're going to subpoena me and put me in front of a grand jury. Well, let them," she says. "They still aren't going to get the list of members of blackboxvoting.org unless they seize my computer, which my attorney tells me is what they have in mind." And, you know, what are...
This is obviously the first that I have heard of that.
Yeah.
That is, on the surface, an absolute outrage.
I'll forward it to you in email.
Yep.
And Bev is very accessible. I know her. I've had her on the program. She's not a kook. She's a very competent reporter.
The issues that she is touching on is one I know you have discussed on this program a whole lot, and the concern that millions of Americans have with touchscreen voting. Why the Secret Service would be interested in who visits her website is beyond my comprehension. And sounds like a very outrageous act, which we will certainly take a look at.
Yeah, she's the leading authority in America on electronic voting.
I'm familiar with that.
Yeah. Okay, 1-866-889-8894. We've got all our lines are lit up here, so let's get to it. Roy in Rio Rancho, New Mexico, is on the line. Hey, Roy, welcome to the program.
Good morning, folks. Tom, that was one of the things on my notes that I wanted to talk about because it's up on BuzzFlash, I think, about the black box voting.
Oh, is it?
That means they've got my damn name now.
Yep.
And I ain't done nothing except raise a lot of hell because they're taking my rights away.
Yep.
I wanted to point out that Doug Steffen, who is no way as liberal as you are, Tom, or as a Mike Malloy, or...
Yeah, Doug is kind of a Rockefeller Republican, I would say. And
Doug has gotten dropped from three or four stations in the last two or three weeks because... he has been objecting to some of the stuff that's going on. And that's what the programming managers have told me.
It was Salem Communications. Salem is a network. They own a network.
There were a couple other ones, too, a couple independents, where the owner just didn't like him.
Yeah, yeah, because he's starting to speak up against George Bush, just like Howard Stern did.
Yeah. And I understand that the Saudis, via something along Kingdom something, and I missed the name, but they're doing a big PR campaign, and they're buying advertising like crazy on CNN, and specifically some with Citibank and whatever. Well, whoever's advertising controls what's going to be on. They're not advertising if they're in opposition to the message getting out.
Well, Roy makes a good point. Often we focus on who owns the media, which is often not a large multinational corporation, and that already gives you the corporate bent. Roy's point is a very good one, is who does the vast majority of the advertising? And those are, again, large multinational corporations. And what we're seeing increasingly is these companies are saying, hey, if you put certain types of programming on the air, we're not going to advertise on your station, which is a tremendous disincentive for any company to present alternative points of view.
Yeah, I'm watching Crossfire on CNN, and I see an ad for Boeing Well, I mean, how many viewers of Crossfire want to go out and buy a jumbo jet, right? Here's an ad for Boeing, and there's an ad for, I think it was ConocoPhillips, for a big oil company, a couple of big oil companies. And you know, I'm not going to go out and buy a 100 million gallon, you know, a tanker load of oil. Why are these companies advertising if they don't have any interest at all in reaching the viewers? You know, mm-hmm. So the only possible explanation I can come up with is just exactly what you just said, that they're basically... It gives them clout with programming.
Tom, let me get back to this USA Patriot Act. And what you have mentioned to the listeners a moment ago is obviously very troubling, I think, to everybody. We're going to look into that. But we are working hard to repeal the onerous aspects of the USA Patriot Act. We've been working on Section 215, which is the Freedom to Read bill, which has over 140 co-sponsors. That would do away with giving the FBI the ability, with virtually no probable cause, to go into libraries, bookstores, etc., and get people's reading habits. And, you know, the bottom line here is, in my view, terrorism is a serious business, and we've got to protect the American people, but we have to do it in a way that maintains and protects the constitutional rights that have made this country a free country. And it does get very scary when you hear Roy talking about folks who are on the radio or on television who raise issues against corporate interest or against the Bush administration, and suddenly they're taken off of the air, or in this case of the woman who has been focusing on touchscreen voting and the very serious problems that everybody acknowledges. California now, I think, is undertaking a major study on whether they're going to go, to what degree they go forward with touchscreens. Yeah.
They may even decide today, the Secretary of State.
Pardon me?
The Secretary of State in California may even decide today. I have somebody right in our chat room just
said. It's a huge issue. I mean, this is not some, you know, paranoid fantasy here. This is a very serious issue. And that if this is in fact true, that the government wants to know who is visiting her website, this is
scary.
A very outrageous act, and something we will take a hard look at.
Yeah, in our chat room, Pacecop says, thank you, anti-freedom Republicans. We are now East Germany, complete with the Stasi. Anyhow, moving along to our phone calls here, 1-866-889-8894. Our number, Holly in Santa Fe, New Mexico, is on the line. Hey, Holly, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Tom, and thank you, Bernie. Bernie, you're the only person I've found that my conservative Republican father will actually listen to, and I want to thank you. I'm actually making some progress with him. I'm calling because I wanted you to remind us of how important it is for us to not only defeat George Bush, but also to replace members of Congress so that when John Kerry is elected, he can get some of his legislation through Congress. And one of the things we're doing here in Santa Fe is, even though we can't vote for him, there's a candidate running against Heather Wilson, who is a neocon in District 1 in New Mexico, which is Albuquerque. She's been handpicked by Pete Domenici, and we're anticipating that she will replace him when he retires as senator. And so a lot of us are having house parties and raising money for the candidate who is probably in the best position to defeat her, and his name is Miles Nelson. So to everybody in Santa Fe, send your money in to Miles Nelson and help us get him position to defeat Heather Wilson.
For making that important point, and that is that as important as control over the White House is, which is huge, control over the Congress is huge as well. And Holly, in a sense, reminds us that we have the lowest voter turnout of any major country on earth. 50% of the people vote in presidential elections and fewer in non-presidential elections. And we have got to be working on this issue 365 days a year. Poor people, working people, middle-class people are being devastated. People are working longer hours for lower wages. More and more people are dropping into poverty. More and more people cannot afford health insurance. We're losing decent-paying jobs, gaining jobs that pay people horrendous wages with minimal benefits. We've got to rally those people to stand up and fight for their rights. And every listener should be involved in that process. Not good enough to vote once every 4 years or every 2 years. We've got to be reaching out to our neighbors. I think Holly made mention a moment ago that her conservative father is supportive to what I'm saying. You would be surprised. You would be surprised at the number of conservative Republicans who are not sympathetic to George Bush. Going to war in Iraq is not conservative. Believe me, it's not conservative.
Yeah.
Running up a $500 billion deficit is not conservative. The USA Patriot is not conservative. There are some of the most conservative members of the United States Congress say, hey, we're conservatives. We believe in small government, limited government, not having the FBI determine and check out what we're reading. That's not conservative.
Yeah.
So we can have disagreements with many conservatives on many issues. That's called democracy. But you would be surprised that when you focus on the important issues facing America, how many people can come together and basically conclude that the feller in the White House does not represent, by any stretch of the imagination, the majority of the people of this country.
Yeah, he's a radical, not a conservative. 1-866-889-889-4 is our telephone number. And Kate in Arcata, California, is on the line. Hey, Kate, welcome to the program. You're on Live with Bernie.
Hi, thank you. It's a pleasure to be able to have this opportunity to ask a question. For me, it's a bit of a discouragement that I want to share with you so that maybe you can...
We only have about a minute and a half, Kate, so...
Okay. If the media controls so much information for people, what good does it do to register a lot of voters who don't have time to pay attention except to the media?
Good question.
Kate, that's an excellent question. And the answer is, through the Internet, through many good radio programs like Tom's, through many publications, there's a lot of information out there. And one of the things that people should be doing is getting a hold of that information. It doesn't take – it's not a great expenditure to reprint some of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And when you talk to people and you're discussing politics with people, give them good information which backs up your argument. It's out
there. Oh, that's excellent. That's what I was planning to do anyway, so that's really great encouragement. Thank you.
Thanks, Kate.
Thank you.
And it's like during the Revolutionary era, the pamphleting. You know, they were sticking pamphlets on people's doors constantly. That's what the Internet is today. Well said, Bernie. It's at 10 minutes before the hour at the Tom Hartman radio program, Brunch with Congressman Bernie Sanders. We'll be right back.
Are you frustrated by your constant inability to lose weight? Are you looking for a natural, clinically proven weight loss breakthrough? Introducing CarboBlocker. Unlike anything else on the market, CarboBlocker is backed by clinical research that proves it effectively helps block the fattening effects of carbs without stimulants. Your body will think you're eating a low-carb diet even when you're not. The results are simply amazing. If you want to maintain the weight loss effects of low-carb dieting for the long run, if you're tired of clothes that are too tight and you want to look fit and sexy, then CarboBlocker is for you. It's clinically effective. Formula is safe, natural, and stimulant-free. And as a special introductory offer, when you order two bottles of Carbo Blocker, you'll get two bottles of Appetite Blocker absolutely free. Call in the next 10 minutes, and you'll also receive two free books, Lose Fat Now and the Low Carb Cookbook, a $100 value, absolutely free. So call now, 1-800-743-5704. Guaranteed to work or your money back, so call now, 1-800-743-5704. That's 1-800-743-5704.
The Founding Fathers thought they'd stop corporations from ever overthrowing elected government. Little did they know that 200 years later, democracy would be stolen and twisted in the name of so-called conservative values. Hi, this is Tom Hartman. The Founders of America fought the Revolutionary War against the excessive corporate power of the East India Company, and presidents from Jefferson to Eisenhower warned us that extremely big businesses could destroy democracy. You'll find this extraordinary American story in my book, Unequal Protection, The Rise of Corporate Dominance and the Theft of Human Rights. It starts with the Boston Tea Party and ends with the rampant corruption of the Bush administration. It tells the dramatic story of how corporations hijacked the Bill of Rights, setting the stage for the CEO takeover of America. And it shows how we can take America back and tells the stories of Americans from Pennsylvania to California who are doing just that right now.
Unequal Protection is available in bookstores nationwide. And you can read several chapters online at unequalprotection.com. That's Unequal Protection by Tom Hartman.
Are you or a loved one making too many trips to the bathroom? Listen closely because you're not alone. Over 30 million men suffer from an enlarged prostate. That's why if you make frequent trips to the bathroom, have urgency, hesitancy, or a diminished sex drive, then Super Prostate Formula is for you. It was designed by nationally recognized physician Dr. Michael Toplitzky. The results with his patients have been amazing. Reclaim control now and join the thousands of satisfied customers who have had incredible results with Super Prostate Formula. When you order two bottles of Dr. Toplitzky's Super Prostate
formula. You'll also get two bottles of his Super Libido formula, an all-natural alternative to Viagra to enhance sexual vitality and performance, plus his book, Complete Guide to Prostate Health, and his newsletter, a total $100 value free as your gift, guaranteed, or your money back. If you're not completely satisfied, return it for a full refund and keep his Libido formula book and newsletter free as your gift. Not available in stores. Call now, 800-452-0978. 800-452-0978. That's 800-452-0978.
Floating houses and water buffalo were the mainstays of life for people who once inhabited the vast marshes of Iraq. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. The southeastern corner of Iraq was once a huge wetland, and some people believe it was the biblical Garden of Eden. For more than 5,000 years, a people known as the Marsh Arabs lived there. But today, the wetlands and the unique culture of the Marsh Arabs are in danger, and scientists are working hard to restore them. Michelle Stevens works on an international project called Eden Again. She says more than 90% of Iraq's original wetlands have dried out, and most of the people who live there have moved away. That's due in part to dams upstream on the Tigris and Euphrates rivers. It's also due to attacks by Saddam Hussein. In the early 1990s, Hussein intentionally drained the marshes, poisoned water, and burned villages. Stevens says the Marsh Arabs once had a beautiful way of life.
They lived on these floating islands of reeds, and their homes were built of reeds. People would go visit each other house to house on their canoes, so everything was waterway. Everything was moving between water.
The reeds in the marshes grew as tall as 20 feet, and the people there wove their homes out of the tallest ones. Stephen says the Marsh Arabs also raised water buffalo. The animals slept on the floating mats where the people lived, and their owners sang to them at night. Stephen says the former inhabitants of Iraq's vast wetland had a knowledge of ecology and practical living that's a true cultural treasure. She says the Eden Again Project is trying to find some of the people who moved away to interview them and learn about their lives. The project also wants to help the people who still live in the former wetland restore the marshes and their way of life. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Fearlessly exploring the truth of the day, here's Tom Hartman.
The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky.
And welcome back. It's Tom Hartman and the Brunch with Bernie. Congressman Bernie Sanders with us. 1-866-889-8894, our telephone number. Russell in Warren, Vermont is on the line. Hey, Russell, welcome to the program.
How are you?
Great. What's up?
I was wondering if there's anything that... I'm really scared about what's going on. And I'm wondering if there's anything that Bernie could tell us that would somewhat calm our fears about the control that the right wing has taken over.
Good question, Russell, and one of your constituents here, Bernie. Your
yep.
thoughts?
Warren is a beautiful town.
Yeah.
The answer is... that, you know, I am a congressman, so I get a chance to get around my whole state, and I get a chance to go around the country. And, Russell, you would be surprised at the number of people who are out there, not only in Vermont, but all over this country, who are angry and who want political change. So why we should be very nervous, because these guys have a lot of power. Trust me, there are tens of millions of people who are on our side. Our job now is to work hard, to organize, to educate, and to win the election in November.
Yeah, it feels to me sometimes like we're on the edge of an FDR moment, you know, that there could be a change. 1-866-889-8894. Roberta in New Mexico is on the line in Santa Fe. Roberta, we've just got about a minute left here. Real quick.
Well, could you take me after the break? I'm
sure.
Wondering if I would like to hear the congressman. Good morning, Bernie. I'd like to hear your take on the thesis proposed by Richard Rosenfeld in the latest Harper's, What Democracy? The case for abolishing the United States Senate. And it's very compelling. It talks about the great compromise that the original 13 colonies made between the unicameral proposals of Thomas Paine,
right,
Benjamin Franklin.
If we're
going to
get Roberta, if we're going to get Bernie's response, I'm going to stop you right there and let him respond.
Well, I would say, to be honest with you, Roberta, it's not the major issue which I am worrying about right now. I think you can make a case. I don't know what the article says, to be honest with you, but 6 years for the United States senators is a long time, and I think sometimes these guys forget where they came from. But right now, the goal is to win the election in November, to educate, to organize, and to register people to vote. That's what I'm focusing my attention on.
Yeah, and that's what we absolutely need to be doing. Congressman Sanders, oh, by the way, I wanted to tell you, I've got a new book out, We the People, A Call to Take Back America. It's a 200-page illustrated book, and you are a cartoon character in this book on page 144. So I'm going to have to send you a copy of this thing. You are now immortalized in a comic book. Bernie,
Tom, keep up the great work.
Yeah, thanks so much for being with us today.
Okay, bye-bye.
Congressman Bernie Sanders. It's the Tom Hartman Radio Program. Defending America from the conservative weapons of mass deception.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Delicious. Connoisseurs love them. They're imported from France. They're certified eco-friendly. And they're reasonably priced. What am I talking about? Eco Wines. One of the best-kept secrets in America. Eco Wines from the south of France. Brought to you since 1980 by my company, the Organic Wine Company. My name is Véronique. I select these earth-friendly wines personally. They are made with organic grapes. They burst with life and flavor. Our number? Easy to remember. 1-888-ECO-WINE. Our site? Easy to find. EcoWine.com. See, if you're going to eat, eat organic. If you're going to drink, drink wisely. Drink organic. Our future depends on it. Remember our number? 1-888-ECO-WINE. And that is ECOWINE.
Pop and not-so-pop culture, democracy, and the news of the day. This is the Tom Hartman Program.
News break from the Minuteman News Service.
This is Michael Stinson in Hawaii. Leaders of last Sunday's March for Women's Lives held a news conference on Capitol Hill Thursday to repeat their demand for an apology from Bush campaign advisor Karen Hughes for her remarks about abortion rights. A call for Hughes to resign was made Thursday by Martha Burke, head of the National Council of Women's Organizations. She has called your mothers, your aunts, your grandmothers, your daughters, your sons, and husbands terrorists. This has got to stop. It is the worst kind of McCarthyism. You cannot speak out in this country anymore without being called a traitor. The highest form of patriotism is to speak out against policies that do not benefit the citizens of your country, Burke said. This must stop. She owes an apology, if not a resignation. Bush and Cheney were questioned in the Oval Office for about 3 hours on Thursday by the 911 Commission. No one can say for sure what was talked about, as there were no recordings made, nor video cameras or even notes allowed, and both refused to take an oath or give public testimony. The commission was searched by hand for weapons, and at the end, their notebooks were taken from them before they left the session, with the White House saying they would be returned after being reviewed for classified information. Bush had initially opposed creation of the panel, and his lawyers struggled for months last year to prevent the commissions from getting access to highly classified Oval Office intelligence reports. The head of the United States occupation in Iraq, L. Paul Bremer, warned 6 months before the September 11th attacks that the Bush administration seemed to be paying no attention to terrorism and appeared to stagger along on the issue. Mr. Bremer, who in 1999 was chairman of a National Commission on Terrorism, gave a speech on February 26, 2001, in which he said the general terrorist threat was increasing. The new administration seems to be paying no attention to the problem of terrorism, Mr. Bremer said in his speech. What they will do is stagger along until there's a major incident and then suddenly say, oh my God, shouldn't we be organized to deal with this?
More after this.
Military veterans deserve better. They must wait endlessly for basic health care from the Department of Veterans Affairs. If you or a military veteran you know is one of the many heroes waiting for VA health care, the American Legion wants to tell your story to your elected officials in Washington, D.C. Call toll-free 1-866-539-2509 or visit www.legion.org today. The number again, 1-866-539-2509. We'll tell your story where it matters.
A Washington State backpack maker has discovered a lot of profit to be made by insulting a president. Labels on most of the backpacks, messenger and laptop bags made and sold by Tom Benn have his company's contact information, along with washing instructions in English and French on a tiny tag, along with a message in French that translates as, "We are sorry that our president is an idiot. We did not vote for him." The popularity of the bags and interest in the label has also spawned a new product from the company, t-shirts featuring an enlarged version of the label on the front. Profits from these t-shirts are being donated to the Seattle Veterans Center, Ben said. For a Minuteman News Service, this is Michael Stinson in Hawaii.
Minuteman News Break is a production of TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Murder is not anything I could ever commit, but there are a few individuals whose obituaries I could read without feeling terribly sad. I must admit, however, that one thing does induce murderous thoughts in my otherwise gentle head. Car alarms. Like a demon screeching from the deepest reaches of hell, these satanic devices whoop, beep, razz, whine, and irritate in the most intrusive way, shattering the civility of entire neighborhoods and jangling even the calmest of souls. They seem programmed specifically to go off in the wee hours of morning, rudely awakening families for blocks around in an act of urban harassment. Car alarms are sold in the name of theft protection, but that's a joke. An independent survey of 73 million insurance claims for robbery of vehicles reveals that cars with alarms, quote, show no overall reduction in theft losses. Why? Two reasons. First, nearly all of the whoop-whooping is due to false alarms caused by a passing motorcycle, a thump by a cat, or simply because the damn thing decides on its own to interrupt our peace and tranquility. They go off so often that most of us always assume it's a false alarm. An insurance company found that fewer than 1% of people would call the cops because of a blaring car alarm. Second, it's rare to hear an alarm when the car is actually being stolen because real thieves can easily deactivate the devices in only seconds. As one expert puts it, car alarms work about as well as fuzzy dice at deterring theft. Far from stopping crime, they often cause it, as irate neighbors go out in their jammies to puncture tires, sledgehammer hoods, and even shoot the offending vehicles. Plus, all of this is unnecessary, since there are engine immobilizers that can prevent nearly all auto thievery. This is Jim Hightower saying, to help kill screeching car alarms, call Transportation Alternatives, 212-629-8080.
Only one army believes it can win a war. Plain children's games. Please support Salvation Army summer camps and youth programs. To donate, call 1-800-SALARMY or donate online at 1-800-SALARMY.org. We can't win the war without you.
It's a wild day here at the stock market. Let's talk to some traders. How you doing?
I'm taking a shelling, but I'm still gelling.
Okay, and how about you?
I'm gelling and selling. Gelling and selling.
My trades are smelling.
Mine too, but who cares?
We're gelling.
Are you gelling yet? Dr. Scholl's massaging gel insoles are made from the softest gel ever created. If you and your feet don't feel outrageously comfortable, you get your money back. Guaranteed. Are you gelling? Dr. Scholl's.
He's the man who uncovers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome back, my friends. Telling the truth that multinational corporations don't want you to know.
Tom Hartman here with you, broadcasting live coast to coast, border to border, streaming all around the planet on radiopower.org, on the internet, on terrestrial radio stations, beaming down from outer space on the Sirius satellite network. We are live, by the way, noon to 3 Eastern time. I know that Sirius rebroadcasts our program in the evenings and on weekends, and radiopower.org does as well. So if you're listening to us at some other time and you hear the phone number, it won't work to call. My apologies. But if you are listening between noon and 3 Eastern time, feel free to give us a call, 1-866-889-8894, a telephone number. It's Friday afternoon. We can talk about anything you want. I've got a stack of news stories here. I wanted to get through things I wanted to share with you. Interesting things in the world. What's going on? Ahmed Chalabi says that the UN is not going to oversee him. Strange story. I'll tell you more about that in a few minutes. Let's take a few calls first. 1-866-889-8894. Joe in Santa Fe, New Mexico is on the line. Hey, Joe, welcome to the program. What's up?
Hi, happy Friday.
Thank you, and to you too.
I was getting my conservative radio fix last night, checking on, you know, what's the other side up to.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still in shock because this was the man sitting in covering for Mike Reagan, and it turns out that there was a chemical bomb attack by Al-Qaeda foiled by the Jordanian army, and King Abdullah, you know, praised everybody. But the right wing evidently is seeing this as proof that George Bush and Tony Blair told the truth, that Iraq did have weapons of mass destruction.
What it's proof of is that the entire Arab world is so angry at us and at the Arabs who are aligned with us because of our invasion of Iraq, that they're starting to blow up countries that they were peacefully living in before.
Well, that's it. And the other thing they used, I just was amazed because I saw the story on BBC online. But they also said that it proves not only that George and Tony were telling the truth, but that the United States liberal media is covering up the story because they don't want anyone to know that George Bush told the truth.
Well, if by the story you mean the story about the Jordanian attack,
yeah,
I saw it on the evening news. I mean,
well,
this was 2 weeks ago, a week and a half ago.
They missed that one, I guess.
It was a big story. It was a big story. I mean, you know, I saw CNN cover it. I saw, and in one of the evening news shows, I forget if it was NBC. I'm pretty sure it was NBC. Yeah, well, that was well covered. I mean, that was a big story the day that it happened.
Well, exactly. And I saw it on, I don't have television, but I saw it online. But now they're saying, oh, no, the U.S. media is covering it up because they don't want to prove, they don't want to show that George Bush was telling the truth. And I'm,
yeah.
Anyway, I just had to get that off my.
Yeah. It just shows that these guys are they're not just right-wing cranks. They are, in some cases, psychotic.
Oh, my God.
They're over
the
top.
Oh, one more thing.
Yeah.
And then I'll go.
All right.
I would highly recommend to everybody that they read David Brock's
Blinded by the Right. Yeah.
I finally got around to reading it, and now I understand these people really are psychotic.
It's mind-boggling, isn't it?
It's really scary.
In fact, what David Brock does well in that book, Blinded by the Right, is he doesn't come right out and say it, but he sets it up so that you can figure it out, answers the question, which was raised on this program yesterday, why is it that the Republicans seem to go for the juggler, they win at all costs, they will lie to get what is necessary, they distort the truth,
yeah,
and they think that that's just fine. And the Democrats, by and large, don't do that so much.
No.
And
no.
Why is that? Well, it turns out that the reason why is because the Republicans have a constituency, they have two constituencies that are interested in money and power, that being wealthy corporations and the religious right. And they both want to suck at the trough of government. They want our tax dollars. They want power over us. They want power over the government. So there are financial and power issues there that are driving people to this behavior. Whereas the Democrats, by and large, and I don't want to paint the Democrats as all wonderful, because there are particularly the DLC Democrats. They're in bed with the Republicans. But in any case, by and large, let's say the left, their constituency are people who believe in and are interested in democracy. And democracy doesn't give to people wealth or power. What democracy does is it provides a quality of life. And so the Democrats, of course, being, you know, or and the Greens and the progressives and all the people on the left, they would, you know, just naturally say, well, you know, we're not going to use those kind of taxes. We don't believe the ends justify the means. We're not willing to lie to accomplish our goals. Whereas the Republicans, that's the only way they're going to get it. That's how they're going to get their power in their minds is by lying their way into it.
And, absolutely. Well, yeah. I'd highly recommend it to everybody. So.
Yeah. Good point, Joe. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
You're welcome. 1-866-889-8894, our telephone number. And the book was Blinded by the Right by David Brock. Came out a year and a half ago, a year ago, something like that. And he talks about one of the real epiphanies for me was discovering how deeply Richard Mellon Scaife is entrenched in all this stuff. Anyway, let's go back to the phones here. Roberta in Santa Fe. Hey, Roberta, we cut you kind of short on that last one. I was afraid that if I let you continue, that Bernie wasn't going to have a chance to answer, and that would not have been fair to him.
Okay,
what's
well,
up?
I thank you very much for taking me back, and you know, and I also feel, Tom, I need to say it's really an honor for me, the gadfly, to be to have the opportunity to express myself on your show, and I wouldn't be able to do that at all if you didn't stimulate my thinking and reading and studying so much. And I'm also glad that you laughed in response to the former caller's information, because that shows a proper balance over what this all is. What I was trying to make this point to Bernie, because I think it is radically imperative for him in what he's doing now. He works from night till midnight, from morning till midnight, and on the people's issues, as do you, as do many. And he represents the closest thing to proportional representation we have in this country by being in the House.
Right.
And this article documents so well that Thomas Paine and Benjamin Franklin were fighting for a unicameral legislative.
Oh, this was
side.
one of the big
battles. And Jefferson
battles.
Followed on that, of course.
Yeah, it was one of the absolute big battles. In fact, our book of the month, How Democratic is the United States Constitution by Robert Dahl, has two chapters about this in it. And I recommend you get it. It's an extraordinary book. And,
well, he
and,
says,
and it just lays out the whole thing. The Senate was the only way that they could bring the small states in to the Union. This in the beginning, the small states were saying, "Hey, if we're going to have so little representation in a unicameral legislature, we're just not going to play. We don't want to participate." And so they had to come up with the Senate and give two seats to every state, regardless of its size, as a way of holding the Union together. If they hadn't done that, there would be no United States.
Well, according to Rosenfeld, that is a moot topic, because according to him, the great compromise, or putting in the other, putting the Senate in, was actually to protect the aristocrats from the mob rule of democracy. And his question is, as Paine and Franklin said, we mustn't copy the aristocratic government of the Brits. And this, of course, Adams and Hamilton and the Federalists all wanted that protection for the aristocrats and the landed people.
Yeah, but Roberta, you're missing something here. And I'll have a whole chapter on this in my book, A Return to Democracy. It comes out in July, and I'm trying to remember the title of it.
You have unequal representation that.
Oh yeah, there's
that,
you know
that the Senate.
But one of the things that you're missing, Roberta, is that the rich, in quotes, in America back in that time were by and large not the people who were working out the Constitution. And so many people, both on the extreme left and the extreme right, get this wrong. George Washington was one of the wealthiest men in America, and when he died, he didn't have enough money to free his own to all of his own slaves. Thomas Jefferson died in bankruptcy. These guys were the equivalent of what you would call today the upper middle class. The extremely rich in America were all on the side of England in the war, and the vast majority of them fled to either Canada, for example, the Johnson family that had huge castles along the Hudson River, they fled to Canada, or they went back to England. And
didn't the Sons of Liberty tar and feather them sometimes?
From time to time, yeah. But the people who say, oh, these guys were just trying to do it for... Forrest MacDonald wrote a great book, and I can't remember the title right now, in which he just completely debunks this theory. This goes back to Beard's hypothesis in 1933. Beard wrote a book called The History of American Civilization, in which he said that the Constitution was written to protect the wealthy elite of America. And it turns out, when you actually look at how the vote went and who voted what, that the majority of people who voted to ratify the Constitution actually were voting against their own economic self-interest. It's simply not the case. It's very fashionable to say it on the left, but it's simply not the case.
And he documents here that the small and unequal representation of the U.S. Senate infects all three branches of government.
Sure.
The Senate is the only institution whose consent is constitutionally required for presidential appointments to the U.S. Supreme Court. The undemocratic and unrepresentative nature of the Senate can skew the bias of the nation's highest court.
Yeah, I got it, Roberta. And if we beat the subject to death, all of our listeners are going to go away. Yes. You know, the fact of the matter is, the United States does not have a perfect democracy, as we had Robert Dahl on last week. And no country has copied our Constitution. There's a lot that we could do to fix it. But as Bernie said, it's not going to happen tomorrow. It's just not going to happen tomorrow. The calling a constitutional convention, in fact, to try and fix the deficiencies in the United States Constitution, like the Electoral College and an unproportional representation where the Senate, because of the Senate, the difference between the Senate and the House, you have some states, some small states that have, where one voter in a small state like Rhode Island can have as much as 16 to 20 times more impact than a voter in, for example, California or New York. You know, if we were to call a constitutional convention and try and fix those problems, then you would have all the right-wing cranks coming in and saying, okay, let's tinker with the Constitution. Let's make corporations persons. Let's do this. Let's do that. And you'd have a terrible mess. 1-866-889-8894. Lois in Berkeley, California is on the line. Hey, Lois. Sorry to keep you waiting. What's up?
Hello, Lois. This is Lois from Berkeley. And
yeah.
I've been listening to your radio station pretty attentively. I don't give my full attention because I have to do things in the morning. In the West Coast, this is morning.
Right.
But anyway, what I wanted to talk about is that Jordanian affair.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking maybe I should watch television more because I went to a friend of mine's house and he had recorded all of this stuff. And they had all these people testifying that they were going to do this chemical attack and have all this bombing.
Yeah.
And it was quite strategic and quite complex.
Oh, it was, yeah. Very sophisticated.
And I don't disbelieve that there are people who like to do things like this. Unfortunately, almost every movie you see has an explosion and even has nothing to do with the plot whatsoever.
Yeah. Well, there really are terrorists out there, and we're stirring them up by what we're doing in Iraq right now.
That's quite understandable. But the people who were testifying, most of them seemed to know English, and they were very calm, like maybe they were on a drug or something. I couldn't understand it. They had a very calm tone to their voice.
Could be. I don't know.
I don't know. Anyway.
Lois, thanks for the call. Was there another point that you want to make? You want me to hold you over the break?
No, there isn't. I was just really curious. I'd love to know if anybody has any comments on this. I have
okay.
no idea.
We'll find
Bye.
Out. Thanks, Lois. It's the Tom Hartman Program. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Wakefield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates block out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com. Or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
The last hours of ancient sunlight, the fate of the world, and what we can do before it's too late is Tom Hartman's stunning wake-up call to humanity. Conversations with God author Neil Donald Walsh says this about the book.
Quote it everywhere. Buy 10 books and give them away. Don't let this action go unheard. You may feel like a voice in the wilderness, but it is your voice we're waiting to hear. Yours is the crucial vote. You are the determining factor. We reach critical mass when we reach you, and you choose to reach others with the simple message of this book. Let us act at last in the best interest of all. Then the sun will shine another day, and another still, and life will not merely go on, but achieve its highest expression, its grandest glory, its greatest joy. Can we give this gift to our children? Please say yes.
The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight, The Fate of the World and What We Can Do Before It's Too Late by Tom Hartman. Available in bookstores everywhere.
Here's today's Dow Bob Report. The White House wants yet another round of corporate tax cuts. It believes cutting the tax burden on business stimulates job growth. But historical analysis of U.S. federal tax rates and unemployment recently completed by the Brookings Institution shows no basis for the correlation. Look no further than the Reagan era. He cut taxes in 1981, and in the following 2 years, unemployment went up. Over the decade, taxation slowly rose again, and by 1989, the unemployment rate had fallen.
During the past 3 years, it's true George W. Bush has created more jobs. Unfortunately, they were created in places like China. Bush's policies have encouraged the loss of nearly 3 million jobs. He supported tax breaks to corporations that ship jobs overseas. George W. Bush is taking our country in the wrong direction. It's time to make America work for every American.
Setting up a radio station? Wondering what software to use? Listen to the words of Mike Chandler of WOBS in Florida talking about the Tune Tracker system.
I love the software. I mean, it is rock solid. It has not burped one single time. This thing has not stopped. And I tell you, I've got some software that I run at two of my other radio stations that cost tons and tons more. One I paid, I think, $1,500 for it. And then one system, which was the Arrakis DigiLink system, I paid $15,000 for it. But this rivals my $15,000 system.
As Mike Chandler said, the Tune Tracker system is rock solid. And the price? Only $349.95 for the pro version with traffic interface and only $149.95 for the original Tune Tracker 2. Either way, you'll have a radio automation system that performs like systems costing thousands more. For more information, go to our website, www.tunetrackersystems.com. www.tunetrackersystems.com.
Democracy to the United States of America. Here's Tom Hartman.
I pledge allegiance to the
corporations
of the United States of America
and to the plutocracy
for which it stands.
It's pretty cynical. It's 25 minutes past the hour. It's Tom Hartman back here with you. Iraq will not accept any government that is directed by the United Nations. A spokesman for Ahmed Chalabi, a senior member of the Iraqi Governing Council, said yesterday. He said, Iraqis have fought and died for this day, and it is not acceptable that we replace U.S. occupation with U.N. supervision. Interesting. Ahmed Chalabi, who himself hasn't lived in Iraq since he was 7 years old, who's sentenced to 22 years of hard labor in Jordan for bank swindling, is now saying he doesn't want the U.N. in either. Boy, we really have a mess there when our own hand-picked guy is saying, we don't want you and we don't want your UN either. It is absolutely... He says, the UN plan sounds to me almost like a coup, something the Iraqi people will not accept. Brahimi, speaking of the UN representative, cannot exclude people or appoint people. It's impossible to exclude not only Chalabi, but those who participated in the liberation of Iraq. We will have Iraqis choose their own government. It's the only way to go, and that's what's going to happen. Yeah, great idea. And I suspect if that's really what happened, Chalabi would be the first to get bounced out. But I don't think that he's got that on the agenda. 1-866-889-8894. Natalie in Los Alamos is on the line. Hey, Natalie, welcome to the program. What's up?
Hi, Tom. Thanks for giving me some of your airtime.
Sure.
I'm calling to let everyone in northern New Mexico know about tomorrow's MoveOn.org fundraiser bake sale that we're holding.
Oh, how cool.
Los Alamos. And that's tomorrow, Saturday, May the 1st, and that's from 11 to 4 at Ashley Pond in Los Alamos. And we're trying to raise funds for MoveOn.org so we can help get Kerry in the back in the White House.
See, this is democracy at its best. I mean, this is grassroots democracy, people getting out and doing a bake sale. It's been a long day, Natalie. Long week. Give us that information one more time for our listeners
sure.
in Mexico.
Sure, love to. It's tomorrow, Saturday, May the 1st, and that's 11 to 4 at Ashley Pond in Los Alamos.
Great. Okay,
and
thanks.
And we're right outside of Santa Fe, so anybody in Santa Fe who's listening, please come on up and help us out.
Okay, super. Natalie, thanks for the call, and thanks for letting our listeners know about that.
Thank you.
You're welcome. 1-866-888-9894. Armin in Florida's on the line. Hey, Armin, welcome to the program. What's up?
Thank you. I was just sitting here thinking about this great champion in the White House that is the biggest proponent, supposedly, of privatization.
Yes.
Okay, look at the statistics. Okay, he's been in, you know, over 3 years. He himself has failed big time in the private sector before he got in. So here he is now getting a public paycheck on the public payroll, trying to be a proponent of privatization. The majority of those, you know, 95% of those jobs we lost, those 3 million jobs since he's been in that paid well, they were in the private sector. 95% of the people that have inadequate health insurance or don't have any health insurance at all are in the private sector. So here's this so-called proponent of privatization that's been an absolute dismal failure at it himself, and he's getting a public check from us. It's ironic. It's Orwellianism at its best, I think.
Yeah, and it's obscene. And one of the dirty little secrets of privatization is that the real hidden agenda of privatization is handing the commons, that is, you know, what you and I own collectively, over to private hands. I mean, that's the privatization of schools, for example, privatization of water supplies, electric utilities, things like this. It makes more billionaires and the rest of us and the commons, and including the environment, get screwed in the process.
You know, Tom, you're really a wise guy, and you're very intelligent, and you have one of the best shows I've ever listened to in my life. And you're also an author. And, you know, I think what you need to do, if you would consider it, you're always writing books, but, you know, what about considering the title for your next book, call it Inverting Orwell.
Inverting Orwell. It's time to do it, isn't it? It's time to do it. Thanks, Armin. Thanks for the call. Good to hear from you. And thank you for your kind words. It's the Tom Armin radio program, 29 minutes past the hour. Stick around. We'll be right back. More interesting news.
A must read, The Edison Gene, ADHD and the Gift of the Hunter Child by Tom Hartman, best-selling author of Attention Deficit Disorder, A Different Perception. Ed Halliwell, a nationally recognized expert on ADD, said this about The Edison Gene.
Tom Hartman demonstrates that ADHD can be associated with creativity, high achievement, and a most successful adaptive style.
The Edison Gene, now available in bookstores everywhere.
Pop and not-so-pop culture, democracy, and the news of the day. This is the Tom Hartman Program.
This is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm Sarah Turner.
Yet another attempt is underway in Congress to stiffen the penalties for those who willingly flaunt workplace safety standards, which lead to the death of someone on the job. An average of 100 people are killed at work every year due to the willful neglect of safety rules. But those responsible can only be punished with 6 months in jail and a fine. A new bill has been introduced in the Senate, which would increase that punishment to a 10-year prison sentence. But don't hold your breath. Similar legislation was introduced on Capitol Hill last year and went nowhere.
After a two-year struggle for a union, bulletproof vest makers at Point Blank Body Armor in South Florida finally have a contract with the United Needle Industries and Textile Employees Union. The 150 mostly Latino and Haitian workers suffered under horrendous working conditions, poor pay, and inadequate benefits. When the workers demanded management recognize their union, the leaders were fired and a bitter strike ensued. After a massive pressure campaign, including rallies and pickets, a federal federal judge ordered an injunction of Point Blank, forcing the company to rehire workers who had been illegally fired for union activity. Point Blank agreed there would not have to be a union election, and shortly thereafter, the majority of employees signed union authorization cards. Harris Rayner is the Southern Regional Director for Unite.
And within basically a 36-hour period, we had our union, we had our contract, the workers had their first guaranteed raises, all the standard clauses for arbitration of grievances, and created a retirement plan for the workers.
South Korea's new labor-oriented political party is beginning to have some effect on the relationship between unions and Korean companies less than a month after its debut, in part due to the surprising victory of the Korean Democratic Labor Party, which took 10 seats in the National Assembly. Tiremaker Kumho today settled the dispute with its union over the status of long-term temporary workers. According to the agreement, any temporary worker who's been with Kumho Tires longer than 2 years will become a full-time employee immediately. The rest qualify for permanent status at the end of next year. The practice of long-term temping is very common in South Korea, and it's hoped this deal sets a trend to break that cycle. Here's today's Dow Bob Report. What began as legislation designed to bring the United States into compliance with the World Trade Organization has turned into a free-for-all on Capitol Hill. A bill to phase out about $5 billion worth of subsidies for exporting U.S. goods now includes more than $170 billion in tax cuts for a variety of industries, including some $37 billion in tax relief targeted for companies with offshore subsidiaries. Opponents of the bill worry that may provide an incentive to send more jobs out of the country.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Richard Corey owns one half of this whole town with political connections to spread his wealth around. Born into society, a banker's only child, he had everything a man could want. Power, great.
And welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you. It's 26 minutes before the hour. Moving along in the third hour of the last hour of our program, Friday afternoon, the last day of the week. By the way, just as I want to acknowledge, if those of you who are listening on radio stations or on Sirius, I believe most of our radio stations don't carry the news that we feed. I know a few of the radio stations do. We feed a newscast at the top of the hour, and a lot of local stations will cover that with either their own local news or with network news that they have a deal with the networks on, and nothing wrong with that. It's just fine, but the newscast up until today has been provided by TakeBackTheMedia.com, and they've just done a marvelous job. All of our web listeners certainly hear it. And I know some of our radio station listeners hear it. And TakeBackTheMedia.com is going to stop their providing the news at the top of every hour, effective the end of this month. So next week we're going to start with Workers Independent News Service at the top of the hour. But I want to thank the folks at TakeBackTheMedia.com for the incredible work that they have done, the extraordinary job that they did providing newscasts to us back when we were with IE America and since we've been independent. And their website, TakeBackTheMedia.com, is extraordinary. If you'd like to drop them an email and thank them and tell them how much you appreciate what they have done, the contribution that they've made, you can send it to info@TakeBackTheMedia.com. So I just want to acknowledge the folks at TakeBackTheMedia.com. They're just a remarkable group of people who are continuing to do a lot of really important work and online, just not doing our newscasts any longer. But that's fine. I mean, I understand. So, some of the news of the day, and so much happening. It's just the United States denied a petition by the AFL-CIO to investigate China's alleged exploitation of workers. You get this? This, Robert Zoellick, our U.S. Trade Representative, he says, no, we're not going to look into China exploiting workers. What? Chinese slave labor? Not our problem. China pegging their currency to the dollar and thus basically dumping products in America to inflate the products of or the profits of Walmart and wipe out American domestic industry? Not our problem. Robert Zoellick, he said, accepting these petitions would take us down the path of economic isolationism, and that is a path we will not take. The union and U.S. manufacturers said that China's labor and currency policies, this is from an article in the Florida South Florida Sun Sentinel by Mark Drajum, said that China's labor and currency policies have given it an unfair trade advantage, helping it run up a record $124 billion trade surplus last year and contributing to the loss of 2.8 million U.S. factory jobs since George Bush took office. Elaine Chao, our labor secretary, the wife of right-wing cracker Republican Senator Mitch McConnell, Elaine Chao says engagement is the key to improving Chinese working relations. Yeah, right. Engagement. The AFL-CIO is asking for duties on as much as 77% of the goods imported from China. They made their request under Section 301 of the Trade Act of 1974, which allows the United States to impose sanctions on countries whose practices are either discriminatory or restrict U.S. commerce. And they were seeking remedies on behalf of consumers and laborers in both the United States and China. The Bush administration says, nah, sorry, ain't going to do it. Ain't going to do it. This from the Bush Green Watch, this kind of a sad story. Childhood asthma, already at record highs, is expected to grow even worse in the coming years due to a potent mix of air pollution, high levels of pollen, and changes in the types of mold spurred by global warming. Do you get that? I mean, if the end of the world isn't bad enough, and this is the other thing. You know, there's this movie coming out on May 24th, I think it is, another 3 weeks. In fact, Al Gore is kicking off an environmental teach-in of some sort at right down the street from where the movie is debuting. And this has got the right wing. They've got their panties in a wad over this thing. They are so upset. How can this movie come out? And, you know, what's ironic is that it's being distributed by 20th Century Fox, which is owned by Murdoch. How can this movie come out, $125 million production, which I believe it is called The Day After Tomorrow or something like that. And the story of the movie is that the North Atlantic conveyor belt, the Great Conveyor Belt, the part of it that we're most familiar with is called the Gulf Stream, that this thing, as a consequence of global warming, shuts down, and within a few days, in reality it would take a few years, but within a few, like 1 or 2 years, but within a few days, suddenly the world plunges into an ice age. And some of the science in this thing is actually fairly solid. And, in fact, you know, the premise is the Pentagon, it was published in Fortune magazine of all places, the Pentagon has been doing disaster scenarios around this. What do we do if Europe is plunged into an ice age and 800 million people can't feed themselves and many of them have nuclear weapons, like Russia and France? What do we do? And England. They are in the United Kingdom. So anyhow, this movie. Well, you know, this is the okay. That's the end of the world scenario for global warming. Well, what's the kind of mid range scenario for global warming? The mid range scenario is that asthma is exploding, and in part, people have been scratching their head. Why is it that all these kids have asthma? You know, when I was in elementary school in the 1950s and early 1960s, I don't remember anybody who had asthma. I mean, I just didn't know anybody who had asthma. And now you can't walk into a school without finding kids who are carrying around inhalers to take in case they get asthma attacks. Well, they're suggesting that in part this may have to do with new molds or a new higher levels of mold in the atmosphere of old molds that are coming around as a result of global warming. Mold can be really toxic stuff. Mold, it gets into the body. There's all these toxins that mold generates. So this is how mold protects itself from things that would eat it, like bacteria or insects or whatever, is it produces these extraordinary toxins. Boom, you got. So anyhow, here's a childhood asthma already at record highs is expected to grow even worse in the coming years. The report is called Inside the Greenhouse, the Impacts of CO2 and Climate Change on Public Health in the Inner City. This is a study that says, yes, it's happening. Global warming is here. Now, who are the radical lefties who sponsored this thing? Well, it was the American Public Health Association sponsored it, and it was done by Harvard Medical School's Center for Health and Global Environment. Yeah, those leftists at the Harvard Medical School and the American Public Health Association, they don't want people to know what all the oil companies know, that there ain't no such thing as global warming. They just want to stir us up. Speaking of graft and corruption, a former top sales executive at Illinois-based TAP Pharmaceutical Products said Wednesday that the company regularly lavishes doctors with expensive gifts, including big-screen TVs, season tickets to sporting events, and all-expenses-paid trip to Italy to encourage them to prescribe the company's prostate cancer drug. This company makes a drug called Lupron, and they're spiffing these doctors to get them to prescribe it rather than a competing drug that's less expensive called Zoladex. During one teleconference, this is an AP article by Denise Lavoie, during one teleconference, a proposal was made to pay TAP's top 300 Lupron customers, the top 300 doctors who are prescribing this stuff, a 2% administrative fee to get them to continue to use the drug rather than Zoladex. Durand, who's the guy who was the whistleblower in this thing, Doug Durand, said one of the salespeople on the call said, are you people crazy? That would be a kickback. What if we got caught? And then he said the other executives on the call laughed. Then Alan McKenzie, one of the employees on trial now, said, well, how would Doug Durand look in stripes? That's when Durand got nervous and contacted a lawyer. So I think there's something going wrong here in this company. And sure enough, something was going wrong. They're nailing them. So on it goes. We've got a right-wing radio talk show host. I'm not even going to say his name because the reason this guy is doing this is to get publicity. You know, it's all about getting publicity. But he says he's going to put on the air an abortion. You get to hear an abortion happening. And he's trying to make a point, he says. This right-wing kook. Yeah, he recently had said he was going to do the same thing by killing a dog on the air. I mean, isn't that pathetic? I mean, doesn't it really like come down to it that that's just pathetic? On the one hand, that anybody in radio would feel the need to do something like that in order to get publicity. And on the other hand, rather pathetic also, that it would be picked up by the media. In other words, it worked for him. Even if he doesn't do it, he got the story out there. You want to see a preview of what Social Security is going to look like? Check out what the government is doing right now with the student loan situation. This is like a glimpse into the, I lack a metaphor, but a glimpse into what they're up to. The Center for American Progress has done a great expose on this. On the student loan scam. They point out as higher education costs spiral out of control, federal and private sector loans for many students aren't enough to make ends meet. And this is so true. One of the big things that's happening right now is that colleges more and more are saying that I forget the school. It was one of the top 10 schools, and that there were more parents of undergrad students who were physicians than in the next seven categories. I mean, it's just So, you know, the wealthy promoting their kids. At the same time, the most prestigious and exclusive colleges and universities are gradually becoming bastions of the wealthy. At the same time, billions of dollars that should subsidize low-cost federal student loans are being siphoned to the banking industry. Now, this is the dream that they have for Social Security as well. The government is allowing huge private lenders like Sallie Mae to collect the interest on loans that taxpayers guarantee. In certain cases, the federal government is even paying private lenders an additional premium to collect interest that should go back into the Treasury. An alternative called direct lending exists, but current law allows colleges and universities to choose whether or not to participate in the direct lending program. Showered with gifts and incentives from the private lending industry, many colleges and universities chose to have corporate profit be a higher priority than taxpayer-subsidized student loans. Make more money. An astonishing new analysis shows data for the 2001-2002 school year that if all colleges and universities were required to participate in the direct loan program, in other words, if they did it through the government rather than through private these private lenders, $4.5 billion a year in additional funds would be available to students. That's how much the banking industry is skimming out of the student loan program. $4.5 billion. That's $4,500 million. Amazing, isn't it? And student loans is tiny compared to Social Security. Now you know why it's so important to George and his buddies, all his right wing buddies, to get their fingers on Social Security. This is an industry that's insatiable. 1-866-889-8894 is our telephone number if you'd like to be on the program. Glenn in Tulsa, Oklahoma is on. Hey, Glenn, welcome to the show.
Hi, Tom. Just to jump back to the Chinese trade issue, last night on CNN there was some guys trying to explain why our corporate tax policies were killing us and that we need to go to a consumption tax, like a value-added tax, like Europe, to put us on a more equal footing with Europeans without having to use tariffs.
Yeah, the Europeans have value-added tax as well as corporate income tax.
Well, how does that affect, you know, this whole issue about we don't need tariffs, we just need to change our tax policies because, you know, we use tariffs and they have an advantage because of their tax, the way they tax, instead of taxing the way we do, that puts them at an advantage in import-export balance of trade. I didn't understand how that would affect.
It wouldn't. I mean, it's a phony argument. It's a phony argument. There are arguments, for a value-added tax, for a VAT. The main argument is that it's a more hidden tax, that people are less likely to rebel against it. Because with a value-added tax, what you do is when, for example, somebody's making cars. Okay, the manufacturer of the steel, you know, they buy iron ore and they make steel. So they have improved the value of that iron, so they pay a tax on that. And then the steel maker sells it to the auto manufacturer. The auto manufacturer then takes that steel and makes it into a car. He's improved the value of it, so he pays another value-added tax on it. But when you buy it, you don't pay a sales tax. And so it's a more invisible tax. But it really is a way of taxing on consumption. It's a consumption tax. It's just a more hidden one. So it's one that governments like better than sales taxes.
But it doesn't give them an advantage. And he was implying that that's why we import more from Europe.
No, that's nonsense. Our tariffs are virtually irrelevant ever since Clinton with NAFTA and GATT. You know, we have virtually no tariffs. I mean, the highest tariffs we have in some areas are 1-3%. It's just no. It's a phony argument, Glenn.
Thanks
for the call, though. I appreciate it. It's 10 minutes before the hour. Tom Hartman with you.
Are you frustrated by your constant inability to lose weight? Are you looking for a natural, clinically proven weight loss breakthrough? Introducing CarboBlocker. Unlike anything else on the market, CarboBlocker is backed by clinical research that proves it effectively helps block the fattening effects of carbs without stimulants. Your body will think you're eating a low-carb diet even when you're not. The results are simply amazing. If you want to maintain the weight loss effects of low-carb dieting for the long run, if you're tired of clothes that are too tight and you want to look fit and sexy, then CarboBlocker is for you. It's clinically effective
formula is safe, natural, and stimulant-free. And as a special introductory offer, when you order two bottles of Carbo Blocker, you'll get two bottles of Appetite Blocker absolutely free. Call in the next 10 minutes, and you'll also receive two free books, Lose Fat Now and the Low Carb Cookbook, a $100 value, absolutely free. So call now, 1-800-743-5704. Guaranteed to work or your money back, so call now, 1-800-743-5704. That's 1-800-743-5704.
The Founding Fathers thought they'd stop corporations from ever overthrowing elected government. Little did they know that 200 years later, democracy would be stolen and twisted in the name of so-called conservative values. Hi, this is Tom Hartman. The Founders of America fought the Revolutionary War against the excessive corporate power of the East India Company, and presidents from Jefferson to Eisenhower warned us that extremely big businesses could destroy democracy. You'll find this extraordinary American story in my book, Unequal Protection: The Rise of Corporate Dominance and the Theft of Human Rights. It starts with the Boston Tea Party and ends with the rampant corruption of the Bush administration. It tells the dramatic story of how corporations hijacked the Bill of Rights, setting the stage for the CEO takeover of America. And it shows how we can take America back and tells the stories of Americans from Pennsylvania to California who are doing just that right now.
Unequal Protection is available in bookstores nationwide. And you can read several chapters online at unequalprotection.com. That's Unequal Protection by Tom Hartman.
Are you or a loved one making too many trips to the bathroom? Listen closely because you're not alone. Over 30 million men suffer from an enlarged prostate. That's why if you make frequent trips to the bathroom, have urgency, hesitancy, or a diminished sex drive, then Super Prostate Formula is for you. It was designed by nationally recognized physician Dr. Michael Toplitzky. The results with his patients have been amazing. Reclaim control now and join the thousands of satisfied customers who have had incredible results with Super Prostate Formula. When you order two bottles of Dr. Toplitzky's Super Prostate Formula, you'll also get two bottles of his Super Libido Formula, an all-natural alternative to Viagra to enhance sexual vitality and performance, plus his book, Complete Guide to Prostate Health, and his newsletter, a total $100 value free as your gift. Guaranteed or your money back. If you're not completely satisfied, return it for a full refund and keep his Libido Formula book and newsletter free as your gift. Not available in stores. Call now, 800-452-0978. 800-452-0978. That's 800-452-0978.
A new report shows energy development posing a growing threat to western trout streams. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. Thousands of natural gas wells have recently been drilled in the Powder River Basin in northeastern Wyoming. They're extracting coal bed methane, a gas trapped between deep layers of coal. Drillers often have to pump briny water from the wells to get at the natural gas. The conservation group Trout Unlimited recently produced a report on the impact of oil and gas development on western public lands. Field coordinator David Stalling says water from coal bed methane wells can harm trout streams and other habitat.
That water they're taking out is real high in bicarbonates and saline, and they're pumping that into some of our rivers and aquifers. And we've already seen, for example, along the Tongue River in eastern Montana, there's been as high as a 75-80% decline in aquatic life. It's also changed the composition of the soil, allowing for noxious weeds to take over from native plants. So that has an effect on fisheries and other wildlife.
Stalling says Trout Unlimited is not opposed to oil and gas development in general, but he says the federal government should not open fragile lands to development.
There really is no lack of natural gas in the ground in places where they can already develop. A study done by the U.S. Department of Energy, for example, shows that 88% of the natural gas within public lands in the Rockies is already available for development. And so that can be developed, and in most cases, 60-something percent of that without restrictions. So we don't feel like they need to go into places like the Rocky Mountain Front or the Upper Green River Basin or the Rhone Plateau to meet our natural gas needs.
Trout Unlimited's report is available on its website at TU.org. That's TU.org. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
My
Monty, this seems strange to me. The movies had that movie thing, but nonsense has a welcome ring, and heroes don't come easy.
And welcome back. Taxpayer giveaways. I mean, here's the, this is. I just want to wrap this thing up with this student loan thing because it's really not about student loans. I mean, you know, it is about student loans, and that's, you know, and people are going, oh, it's a big deal about student loans, but it's about how the banking industry handles our money, as it were, when the government gets involved and it has to do with something that is that resembles the commons. Thomas Jefferson, when he started the University of Virginia, had this very clear and explicit idea that anybody in America who is capable of studying in college should be able to for free. And the University of Virginia was free as long as Jefferson was alive. And he saw universities like this springing up all across America. This was his dream. And now, of course, universities are not free. They cost money. And so the government, in order to encourage people to go to college, because, you know, we do need an educated electorate if we're going to have a democracy, has been basically kind of backing this whole idea of student loans. And you got this corporation, this private corporation, Sallie Mae. People think, because it sounds like Freddie Mac and whatnot, that we're, you know, government chartered corporations, that it's a government organization. It's not. It's a private corporation, Sallie Mae. And they offer student loans. And in the second quarter of 2003, Sallie Mae was the second most profitable corporation in the United States with a 36.9% return on revenues. 36 out of every $100 that went through Sallie Mae, $36 of it got siphoned off and handed to the stockholders. That's after the expenses and everything. How did they come up with, you know, a typical Fortune 500 company, 4.6%. The Sallie Mae CEO pocketed $33.5 million. Now, how do they do this? Well, very interesting. In the 2004 political cycle alone, employees from the five largest student loan corporations, Sallie Mae, Citigroup, First Union, Wells Fargo, and Neant, have contributed over $125,000 directly to George Bush. In this cycle, employees from the Big Five have contributed over $1.1 million in total federal political contributions to candidates, PACs, and political parties. In the previous three political cycles, these student loan corporations kicked in $49.4 million in lobbying. Wait till they get their hands on Social Security. Can't you just wait? Anyhow, it's been a great week. Thanks for joining us. Thanks to Louise for producing the program, to Brad Walrod for our music, to ShelbyRadioPower.org, and Ben at White Rose Society for getting us out on the Internet, and Mike Toth for our archives. Thanks to the folks in our chat room for showing up. Thanks to you for listening. See you next week, same time, same place.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Did you know that grapes are one of the most heavily sprayed of all agricultural products? Most people don't. But that is why it's so very important to drink wines that are made with certified organic grapes. And that is exactly what we are inviting you to do today. Taste our wines. We select them personally. They come from small properties in the south of France. They are delicious. Connoisseurs love them. And they are earth-friendly. My name is Véronique. I founded the Organic Wine Company in 1980 for people just like you. People who love wine and want to do well by our earth. Call us at 1-888-ECO-WINE. We'll answer all your questions. I look forward to talking with you. Call 1-888-ECO-WINE.